Blog Talk Radio. 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 Blog Talk Radio.
Have been made by God that he will bring the judgment to the earth. He will start shaking the earth like never before. And the judgment that are coming very soon now, okay, will not be held back. The Father will now hold back. The Father will bring the judgment to the earth. Okay? And the earthquake that is tied with California, okay, and how he's shown other people, it's tied with Mexico, Argentina, and many other countries around. This earthquake will practically destroy California. And the Lord has warned the people in California, his people, to get out of California. All of their world dies in California.
The odor of death is in the air, as is the stench of lies and corruption. A nation of blind and deaf, the land of the unrepentant and the home of the future captives and slaves. You will not be free because only the truth sets you free. Because you have removed me and my ways, I am against you. The once great lady, a harlot, now deplorable, murderers, reprobates, without understanding and natural affection. I have sent you my messengers and prophets, and they have preached in your city streets. They have shouted warnings from the rooftop. You have ignored them and tried to silence my words, the words I put in their mouths. A whirlwind of fire. I ask you now, do you know it's me? Yes, I am. I am a forgiving God. Have you turned from your rebellion and sin? Judgment is upon you now. Judgment is upon you now. Judgment is upon Babylon, the USA, now. Do you know it's me yet? Oh, dear. Okay, do you know it's me yet? I heard that for almost 2 weeks, here and there, all day long. I didn't get the prophecy until yesterday. Was that in there? I said this before. Something major is coming. Everybody is getting prepared for it. Make sure your house is in order. And make sure you're ready yourself and your family is. Whether they like it or not, whether they laugh at you or not, just tell them what's happening.
The word of the Lord comes to America. America, you have been weighed in the balance and you have been found wanting. I have been long-suffering with you, America. And yet you throw your sins in my face and laugh at me and deny me and reject me. So have I rejected you. Your days are numbered, America. help you, because I, the God of the universe, have determined that you shall receive all that you have given unto mankind. I am going to send my judgment, which has already started. I'm sending more judgment and more judgment on America. As the city of Gibeah, I shall send an ambush against your country. You will be in a war before long, and this war you will not be victorious, says the Lord. For my hand is against you, America, and you will fall into utter destruction, and the world will be shaken by what they see come upon you, because you have laughed in my face one time too many. You have made sin a joke. You have put your pollution into what I intended to be the church. The church is sleeping. The church has compromised. The church has allowed sin to rule inside its walls. That's...
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Yahashua. Thank you, Lord. Well, shalom, shalom, my brother and my sister. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. What an awesome God we serve. What a great God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Praise you, Yeshua. Praise you, Yahashua. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, God. What an awesome God we serve. Thank you, the Lord's servant. Thank you very much. Thank you, Sister Ruthie. Thank you. Amen. Glad to see you all. I arrived today from our five-day trip. Praise you, Lord. Safe. The Lord has kept us. Amen. Praise you, Lord. God has been good to us. He has been awesome. We pray that we had a safe trip, that the Lord will keep us. And amen. He's been faithful. Shalom, sister, the healing of the heart. Amen. And that he will bring us, and he will take us in peace and bring us back in peace. In his shalom, and he has done so. He's been faithful to us, my brother and sister. Amen. He is so good. We serve such a wonderful God. I will never get tired of saying that. We serve such a good God, my brother and sister. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And praise you, Jesus. We know that judgment is coming for sure. And so we are repenting daily, which is so important, my brother and sister. I would like to pray before we begin the program. We haven't been here in 5 days, so praise you, Yeshua. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we pray in your name, Jesus. Send billions and trillions of warriors, angel, archangel, Lord, to protect our home, our office, Lord, our family, our brothers and sisters listening, Lord. Lord Jesus, we bind the strong men or hindering spirit from north to south, east to west, up and down in Jesus' name. Lord, cover us with your blood. Speak to our life tonight, Lord Jesus, according to our need, Lord. Minister to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Well, I had a dream this past week, and it was not this past week, the week before, which I did not share. And in this dream that I had, we were in court, in the Supreme Court. And all the people in the room and in court, we were all Christians, and we were representing Donald Trump on this election, my brothers and sisters. And it was so exciting to be Donald Trump lawyers. I was a lawyer, and everyone there was a lawyer for Donald Trump, my brother and sister in this dream. We were presenting the Supreme Court with proof that in this election, there was fake boat in that the dead body, that means someone bought it in behalf of someone else. We will by the law of the land, we're representing Donald Trump, and we all were Christian, my brothers and sisters. And we won. We won, my brothers and sisters. The court order that all fake and double or multiplied ballot will be removed, the ballot of the dead people. And we knew by this that by legal vote that Donald Trump won, by the legal vote, he won. And so we were celebrating. Okay, we had a victory at the Supreme Court, my brother and sister. And I was surprised by this dream. Very surprised, my brother and sister. Okay? And I'm sure it's very significant. Okay? Very significant, my brother and sister. Okay? The Church of Jesus, we forget our role on the earth, my brother and sister. And as Jesus is a lawyer for the church is a lawyer for humanity, for those in office, for those that we're praying for. We represent them, my brother and sister, a lawyer, a public defender. Okay? Jesus does this for you and I every day concerning to our mistake, which are called in the Bible sins, my brother and sister. Okay, our sins, he represents us when we make these mistakes, these sins before God, my brother and sister. And so we also need to do our duty, our job, which is so biblical. It is so biblical that as we have a public defender in heaven before Father, my brother and sister, we will also be public defender, my brother and sister, for others. Okay? Now, let me go ahead and share you 1 John 2. 1 John 2. Okay? An advocate, public defender. Okay? My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, which means public defender, a representative before God, who represent us in regard to law. Okay? Shalom, Brother Miguel. And so Jesus represents us before Father in regard to our sin, our sins, our disobedience of us breaking God's law, my brother and sister. Because sin equal dead. Okay? Sin equal dead. And we know that sin carries injustice because when the devil made Adam and Eve sin, it was so unjust what the devil did. He deceived, but the law was given before they sin. And so that's why we need a public defender. This is why we pray for one another. This is why we pray to the Lord, to God, and we repent our sin. And Jesus represents us before Father, my brother and sister. Okay? And we can also do the same for one another, my brother and sister. But we forget this duty of us. Okay? We forget this duty. And we sometimes do it very poor, my brother and sister. And when we don't do it by faith, we have the biblical proof that we should do such a thing. And that's what we're going to look into the word. Okay? Jesus is our defender, our advocate, our lawyer before God. And he represents us before Father day and night. That's equal to 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. He never stopped interceding, representing you and I before Father, my brother and sister, defending us. Okay? And in regard to prayer, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. This is what Jesus does. He praying without ceasing means never stop praying. Jesus never stopped praying for you and I. Okay? He always prayed for us. He always interceded for us, my brothers and sisters. Okay? I went to see my family this weekend. And I know my family didn't want to hear about judgment and things to come. And I said, Lord, should I tell them anyway, even if they get mad at me? And the Lord said, yes, go ahead. Huh. So it wasn't a beautiful trip. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, James 5:15 says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he commit a sin, they shall be forgiven him. Now, confess your fault to one another and pray for one another. Okay? In other words, if I come to you and I said, I'm sorry, sister, for the way I said these things that I offended you, okay? And then you said, well, brother, that's okay. I forgive you. You know, let's put this behind. We pray for one another. Okay? This indicates that we are walking in love. Okay? We care for one another. We pray for one another because it's based on love. Our relationship is based on the love of God. And it's also based on the law of God. Because if we don't forgive the sins to other men, Jesus said, neither will your Father will do in heaven. It's based on his law. It's based on his commandment. Because if you don't love your brother, your sister, you don't know God. You're not keeping his commandment. In other words, my brother and sister, praise the Lord. So it's very important. Even if someone disagrees with you, you pray for them. Lord, have mercy. Father, forgive them. So people insulting you, coming against you. You know, Father, forgive them because they didn't know not what they do. They don't know you a daughter of God, a son of God. How much God loves you, taking you home in the rapture. They don't know that. They may not understand that. Father, forgive them. They didn't know Jesus was the Son of God who sat at the right hand of Father and that he always been there since the beginning. And he is the beginning and the truth. And without Jesus, they were not created. They didn't know that. Father, forgive them because they know not what they do. The majority of this humanity now don't know what they do. Offending Christian, talking against the church. And so much more, rising against the church. They know not what they do because Father, God fight for you and I. Need to understand, he fight for you and I. Now, the Lord has said to me months ago, which he repeated to me today, that to say goodbye to our family, church of the Lord, Jesus is taking his bride home soon. And there will be of your family that you're not going to see no more. Or they're not going to see you no more. You may look on them from heaven, them struggling in the great tribulation. That's kind of the way kind of it will be. You will look from heaven. You'll see them in the great tribulation. Lord, have mercy. Help my aunt. Help my uncle. Help my father. Help my grandfather. Look how they're struggling in the great tribulation. That's kind of that of what I'm talking about. Because the church days, and people don't realize how close it is, the departure, because no one knows the day or hour. But it's close, my brother and sister. And the Lord, as I was talking to the Lord, he says to me today, yes. Okay? To say goodbye to our family, he says, spoke it to me. What he has said, Lord, you have said, he said, yes. Just say goodbye to your family. Okay? They're not going to see the church. Okay? The church days are numbered. Very, very few days. And even the church don't realize how close all their face. Yes, it's exciting, but in some ways it's exciting for the church, but not for your family. Because you are the one God chosen to speak to them, to be an example over their lives. For them to look at you and see Jesus in your life. Okay? They can judge you all they want, but they cannot ignore the one that is in you. The Holy Spirit is in your life. Okay? God is in your life. And when God wants them to see him in you, he will open their eyes and they'll see you. Now, if they ignore, if they decide to choose to ignore what they just saw in your life, the example, okay, that you're going through the worst down here, still able to talk about Jesus, the greater hope, the greater help, okay, the only escape is still on your mouth, it's still in your heart, it's still in your mind. That example, that image of God that is in you, that you are, my brother and sister. That's why Paul said they are without excuse to the Romans. Because creation itself, men who walk with God is the greatest example. Okay? It's the greatest example. And God can show himself through you to any person anytime he wants. You can be driving on the highway, and people can look at you from far behind and see even an image of an angel in you. You're wearing, let's say, white clothing, blue clothing, whatever it is, and you're driving home. And God is so awesome that the one that is in you, that is in dress and white for the wedding, the Lord will open their eyes. And I'm saying this because someone shared this with me. Okay? The Lord can open their eyes, and they'll see you dressed for the wedding. And you're driving, and you, why is this guy looking at me? Why is this man looking at me? Don't be personal with people. Don't take it personal when someone stare at you. Because God is showing them something to save them, to give them hope that God is real. Okay? Let them see the Lord in you, and they'll be offended. Don't be offended. He's talking. She's talking. No, don't be offended. Let them see God in you. Okay? Pray for them. And so when God let them see you, see him in you, God gets the glory. But not only that, then they have no excuse with God. Okay? In regard that they can see God in you, and then they need to repent. They need to humble themselves. Okay? Get on their knees and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm a sinner. Help me to know you, to serve you, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. So important that we be an example to them. And that's why Christian never speaks bad word, evil word. Don't let them come out of your mouth. Even when you get angry, bite your tongue. You know, because a word of truth out of you can convert the soul. The law of God is so perfect that it can convert the soul, as Paul explained to the Romans. It can convert the soul. It can have someone say, well, I saw in that woman, I don't know who she is, but God spoke to me through her. And you'll be like, how? I don't even have biblical verses in my clothing or anything. How do you see God in me? How did God spoke to you by you looking at me? You see, those are the things that Christians don't understand. Those are the things people ignore. But it's there. It's there. God's signature is in your life. His seal of salvation, his seal that who God is in your life. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive the seal of God. And it's in your life. And they can see God in you. And if God wants to show them the seal that you wonder how it looks and how it is, is it a seal? Is it a circle with 777? You wonder how the seal is. Okay? You may not see it, but they will see it. You'll see it in heaven. Of course you'll see it in heaven. But they can see it now. Because the plan of God is to use us to save them, my brother and sister. And they'll come. I met a young man, a friend that we went to school in New Jersey. He said, Elvie, what are you doing here? And I came to the store. Hey, how are you? Long time not seeing you. Man, you're not going to believe this. I'm in church, he says. And I said, oh, praise God. I'm so happy you're in church. Tell me, how did that happen? I saw you one time. Yeah, you share a few verses out of the Bible, and then you walked away because you were in a hurry. But it touched me so much that I ended up going to church. It just convicted me so much. Could not sleep or anything. And it was you that God used, he says. Oh, I didn't know this. Oh, praise God, I didn't know this. Even things that you can, comprehend, God can use us, my brother and sister. Just love God. Fall in love with Jesus. And just look to doing his will. Forget about what you want. What you want, put it in God's hand. I don't say forget about it, but put it in his hand. If he wants to give you what you want, okay, and if he doesn't, let his will be done. My brother and sister, people keep asking me about dreams and plans and all that, and whatever God wants, let his will be done. Kept repeating the same. People get the idea. Okay? Now, someone asked me besides the dream, I had another brother had another dream. You know that we talked about the orchid coming to California next month, December. Another brother had a dream of the tsunami coming. Real dream. He was about to call. He said he had a dream about the tsunami. Okay, that's the Eastern tsunami. And I share in the old audio or video on YouTube that it was the earthquake in California and then the Eastern tsunami, the war in Israel. Well, the war in Israel, my brother and sister, the war in Israel, Israel right now is preparing militarily, and so Iran to attack each other. Who's going to do it first? Well, Israel been fighting Iran in Syria, and it seems like, I told people months ago, Israel will make a mistake because Netanyahu is being pushed by too many people, okay? Not necessarily in this word. The Lord showed me that this word in Israel, Israel will not get any help from the United States. And I'm sorry to say this, but I share this, okay? Israel will not get any help from the United States. Your friends have abandoned you, God says to Israel, okay, forsaking you. So Israel is going to find themselves not being helped, even by those that promise help, because Iran has practically UN support. No one's going to go against the UN. And all this stuff will be unfolding quickly, my brother and sister. Nobody knows what Benjamin Netanyahu and Donald Trump signed in September. The beginning of the year, they signed, I can't remember exactly the month of this year, in the beginning of this year, they signed some document in regard to the peace agreement. In September, they got together again, and they signed document in regard to the peace agreement. Well, there was riots in Israel when this last peace agreement was signed by Netanyahu and Donald Trump. And they, in the eastern part of Jerusalem, the Jewish people were not being allowed to come close to that. Okay? They had it blocked. The Israeli army had it blocked, and people were rioting and complaining and telling Netanyahu, you should stay in the United States and all that. So the agreement that they signed, the rules of the agreement has not been revealed. Someone said, brother, when I get a copy of this stuff, when they post it on the government site, I'm going to look it up and give you a copy, brother Elvie. Okay? Seems like they divided the state and no one knows the condition. People want to know the condition of the signing of this peace agreement. No one has a copy yet. Brother has been looking for this copy. He wants to know what the condition is. He cannot get a copy yet, not on the government website yet. They do not want to reveal what they signed in the beginning of this year when they got together in the White House and what they signed in September of this year also. Okay? Both day and a Tuesday, they signed this document. It's got to be something with that. Okay? And, yes, they were mentioning, they mentioned the West Bank, but what the Palestinians said after the last signing in September, now we are going to build our capital in Jerusalem. We will also, like the Jewish people, have our capital in Jerusalem, and the Islamic community was celebrating this, that they finally got the part of Jerusalem they wanted, and this deal they signed. And so this is why we wanted a copy to read what they agree and sign on, because according to the Arab nations, okay, presidents and leaders, Jerusalem has been divided, okay, in this deal. So we know the judgment is coming anyway, okay? These things were not supposed to be signed, especially by the United States. God is not happy with this nation. At all. Anyone who can hear Father, who can talk to the Lord and God, he will let them know, okay, what they've done, and the judgment will not be delayed, my brother and sister, okay? This stuff, we are going to see the my brother and sister, the consequence of what they signed very soon in this nation. It should have never been the nation who signed this deal, especially without letting anyone know what they signed and what will gonna be put on the table for this to be signed. Okay? What they believe is if they can remove Iran, look at this thing that they're thinking now. Oh, Israel thinks that if they can remove Iran, when they present the deal that they signed, okay, when they present the deal that they signed in September, in the beginning of this year, then it will be much easier for the world, because they say, oh, we're only going to get the Palestinians to move to the eastern part of Jerusalem. It doesn't belong to them for them to be giving it to anybody. It belongs to the Jewish people. It doesn't belong to America to be signing it up to another nation, my brother and sister. When, through any UN deal or policy or international policy, when does it say that the United States can sign off half of Jerusalem to any nation? Okay? Where does it say this, my brother and sister? Okay, so this is tough. This is everything is in a really tough decision here. Confess your faults to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Okay, my brother and sister. Then talks about Elisha, the prophet Elijah. Elijah was a man subjected like to passion as we are. Oh, people say, no, I'm not subjected to passion. I don't have these problems. We all have problems. No matter how little it is, it's still a problem. Okay? This is why we repent daily. We confess our sins daily before God. Okay? Elijah was a man suggested to like passion as we are. And that's we as all, the church, male and female. And he prayed earnestly that it may not rain. Don't let your weakness, okay? Don't let your weakness, and if you want to say your passions, your weakness, okay, stop you from growing in your faith in God. Why? Because people forget that without faith, it is impossible to please him. Don't let your weakness, your passion, stop you from growing in faith. Elisha did not do this. Did not allow his passion. People say uncontrollable passion. His passion to stop him from growing in faith. His flesh, if you want to say it. The flesh is weak, Jesus says. Okay? So let's call this thing passion here, flesh. Because it's out the flesh. Passion is out the flesh. Don't let the desire of your flesh stop you from going in faith, panting daily and seeking God. Because that's what people do. Brother Opie, I'm having this dream that they're so wicked, so evil. I don't know what to do, but I don't know if I can go home in the rapture. I don't know if, excuse me? Okay? Are you the judge of yourself? Why are you judging yourself? Why are you condemning yourself to hell? Okay? Elisha was a man suggested like passion as we are, James says. James studied the life of Elisha. God revealed to the apostle James that part of the problem of Elisha was that he had this passion. He had this passion, my brother and sister. Okay? And so, you know, I have read the life of Elisha, and I don't see a part where I can say, man, this man has a problem with his flesh. But James said that he did. So we might have to go back to the life of Elisha and study his life and see where his flesh giving him problem. But one of the things I see is that when Elisha was by the river, when God sent the bird, okay, to bring him food there, then it stopped. And Elisha was like wondering, wait a minute, God led me here. He was sending the bird to bring me food, meat. Someone sat at the table of the king, the best food that they cooked, the bird will go through the window, grab the meat, and bring it to Elisha. I don't see all of these details in the Bible, but these people concluded that. Okay, so Elisha was wondering what will be his next food. And God said to Elisha, Elisha, get up and go to a widow and see them there, who was with a child, and go, and I will tell you what to do there, Elisha. Notice God was leading the prophet. You could say, well, Elisha, you know, he liked meat a lot. And God was giving him so delicious food there through the bird, and he wanted more meat. And so find himself with no food or anything, then the word of God came to him, get up, Elisha, and go to the widow's house. You know? So, what I'm saying is, Elisha did not allow these situations he finds himself in, problems, to stop him from believing God, from growing in faith. And faith cometh by hearing. You want to grow in faith? Hear, my brother and sister, God, through his word. Hear him. Listen to him. Hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Open your ears to his word, his commandment, and meditate on them. As he said to, hallelujah, his servant, day and night, Joshua, day and night, meditate on them. Think on them. Okay? Praise the Lord. And that would help you to overcome most of the things that people struggle with. People say, I got all these crazy thoughts coming into my mind, and I cannot focus. You know, I try to focus, and the devil keeps throwing all these things. The reason why the devil is putting this stuff into your mind is because your mind is empty. Are you someone listening? It's because your mind is empty. If your mind is busy in the word, Lord, in thy word, said David, I meditate day and night. If your mind is full of God's word, this is how they kept the high priest before he went into the Holy of Holies from sinning against God. He had these priests next to him before he went into the Holy of Holies repeating the commandment to him, keeping his mind full. Is your mind full? If you're mindful of God's word, are you mindful of God's word every day? Is your mind full of God's word every day? My brother and sister, because if your mind is full of God's word, there's no space there for the devil to throw anything into your mind. Because every time he sends his demon, go to such and such person and throw all these thoughts into their mind. And the demon comes and your mind is full of the word. Satan, there's nothing we can throw against her, against him. Their mind is full in the word. Okay? Demons are frustrated. They have to go away. They cannot get you through there. Have Jesus for the mind of Christ. Have you there for the mind of Christ? How was the mind of Christ? Okay? Putting the suffering before him, says the prophet Isaiah. He looked forward to what? What did Jesus look forward to? What was on his mind? Well, let's read it. Let's read what was on our Lord's mind. My brother and sister, thank you, Jesus. What an awesome God we serve. Hallelujah. Praise you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Okay? Knowledge is of the mind. What was in his mind was the God's word. God's word, what was in his mind, the knowledge of God, his word, my brother and sister, in which he meditated day and night. He came according to the seed of David. So what was in his mind was God's word. He meditated on God's word day and night, my brother and sister. There was no place there for doubt. There was no place there for unbelief. There was no place there of this world. Nothing of this world was in his mind. But to go to the cross and die for humanity so they could overcome sin in him. Hallelujah. He was bearing their iniquity. He was carrying upon himself their iniquity, my brother and sister. Even though he's doing this, his knowledge, his mind was in God's word, my brother and sister. There's another verse that put the joy before him. Okay? He looked toward God in his own suffering. He didn't look to anything else but God in his words. While he's going through the worst situation of his life, my brother and sister, because he's never been there before, okay? But this trespass time and everything, what he was doing, okay? He was the lamb who was killed before the foundation of the earth. His crucifixion covered everything, my brother and sister, and justify all, the Bible says. God, through what Jesus did, will forgive anyone who comes to him and repent. In other words, anyone, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. That opportunity everyone have to repent. And he, through Christ, he will forgive them, my brother and sister. Praise your Lord. What God wants to see us is repent. I repent to the Lord. And the Lord said, I forgive you. And then Father ministered to me. What an awesome thing that was today, this morning, my brother and sister. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. Father, hallelujah. I've been talking to the Lord, talked about faith. The Lord's been talking to me about it, my brother and sister. Praise you, Lord. And I kept meditating about it, and I said, yes, I'll talk about that. I'll talk about faith, okay? Because there's one message that should be in the church, and it's this, Hebrews 11:6. My brother and sister, because a lot of people, okay, are doubting God. And in God, in the church, there should be no place for doubt and unbelief. In our heart, in our mind, those things cannot be, because the devil will use them against us as a stumbling block. for you to fall. If you allow doubt, and if you allow unbelief in your life as a Christian, the devil can use those things to make you fall. And Jesus, it was specific to his disciples. If you have faith as a seed of a mustard seed, you will speak to this mountain, be thrown into the sea, and it will obey you. My brother and sister, the only way your situation in your life, things are going to obey your order, is when you walk by faith. My brother and sister, your situation will not change unless you walk by faith. It will even get worse unless you walk by faith. My brother and sister, it's the only way where you're going to see your life change. Okay? And your situation change when you walk by faith. Okay? And if it's not changing, you need to increase in faith. My brother and sister, God's man, the greater man in the Bible, understood this clearly. And this is why to us it's giving Hebrew 11, my brother and sister, and the testimony of these men. Now faces the suffering of the things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen. For by it, the elder obtained a good report. When the Lord appeared to Moses, he told him, go present yourself before the elder of Israel. My brother and sister, the elder of Israel were men of faith. Hallelujah. And so when God sends Moses to them, Moses was worried and concerned whether the people were going to receive him. My brother and sister, but God said, present yourself before the elder and show him this sign, the leprosy in the hand, and then that it will be healed. A miracle right before their eyes. My brother and sister, show them a miracle. Okay? Because our God is a God of miracle. That's why. My brother and sister. Okay? Through faith, we understand that the world was framed. This is Genesis. This is Genesis. Through faith, we understand that the world was framed by the word of God. When you read Genesis, this is exactly what you read. Everything God created, he spoke them to be, and they were so. And God saw that it was good, the Bible says. So the things which are seen, hallelujah, were not made of the things which do appear. Praise the Lord. In other words, by faith, Abel. My brother and sister, there's not one man in the Bible, or boy, that has such a little testimony than Abel. The only thing we know about Abel was that he went and made an excellent sacrifice better than his brother. That's all we know about him, and that Cain went and killed Abel at the end of that, and then that he brought Christ from the ground unto God. That's all we know about Abel, my brother and sister. So his blood crying, the innocent blood of Abel, means he was a righteous boy before God. He was a boy of God, a child of God. So by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. That's the only part of the testimony we know, by which he obtained witness. Notice that when you do something by faith, it's so powerful in heaven and even on earth that you will have witnesses on the earth, people that will say, wow, that was mighty of God. Glory be unto a God for that miracle, that healing, whatever it was. But in heaven, my brother and sister, when God uses you and there's a miracle, there's a sign, there's something God does through your faith on earth, they are witnesses in heaven that the Bible talks about in Hebrew, in the book of Hebrew 13 or 12, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Who obtained witness that he was righteous, God testified of his gift. How can God testify on this? Because not only man, redeemed, and angel can be witness according to the word of God, but God himself is a witness. Are you listening, someone? God himself is a witness, my brothers and sisters. There are three that give witness to heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Are you listening, someone? Jesus said, the Father is my witness. Okay? Jesus has the witness of three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He has his witness. Okay? My brothers, it's so important. Witness is so important. I told you, witness is so important. God testify of his gifts. Praise the Lord. Look at this. We read about gifts in the New Testament, but we never talked about gifts in the Old Testament. My brother and sister, never talks about gifts in the Old Testament. And the Bible, throughout the Bible, talks about gifts in the Old Testament. And people say, how come we never heard about gifts in the Old Testament? It's all in the New, people say. Are you reading your Bible? Are you reading your Bible? And if you cannot see it, you're going to have to ask the Lord to show you. It's there. God put it there for a reason. And that reason is, that gifts, that witness testify of what we have received from him. My brother and sister, shalom, Sister Michelle. Hallelujah, Sister Beatrice, shalom. Hallelujah. God testified of his gifts. Oh, I don't know about gifts, people say. Is that biblical? Is that even of God? 1 Corinthians 12, the 9 gifts. Where did Paul get this idea? Is that even of God? If it's in God's word, it is of God. And not only are the gifts of God are of God, God also testify of these gifts. Oh, what an awesome God we serve. God testify of his gifts. And by it he, being there, yeah, speaketh. Thank you, Lord. My brother and sister, praise the Lord. God will gift you. God will use you. God will give you the gift of healing. And you will lay hand on the sick, or you will pray over them. You will speak the word, and God will heal them. And if someone say that was not of God, one day they will be before God. And God will say, I testify that I have given my daughter, my son, this gift. And when they lay hand, I raise this person. I heal this person. God testify of the gifts, my brother and sister. So be careful what you say. Hallelujah. You got to stand on the word. I thank you, Jesus. God testify of this. Even him being death. Verse 5. We read about Enoch. I heard Christians say, oh, I don't know, brother, about the book of Enoch. Brother LV. Brother LV, have you read the book of Enoch? And I say, yes. What do you think? I say, it's of God. Is he in the Bible? Yes. I don't know. I don't think it's of God. I don't think it's of God, Brother Elby. The book of Enoch, I don't know if it's of God. By faith, Enoch was translated. And that he should not see dead. So where is he in heaven? He got taken to heaven. And was not found. In other words, there was people looking for Enoch. And it's in his book. They were looking for Enoch when Enoch disappeared, and they cannot find us in the book of Enoch. My brothers and sisters, where do they give us this information? This information that I'm reading to you right now, I'm not giving it to you from the book of Enoch. I'm giving it to you from our Bible. Okay? But according to this translation, this witness of this writing, this comes out of the book of Enoch. Because in the book of Enoch tells you that when Enoch disappeared, they were looking for him. Okay? And it's being given to us here in our Bible. Oh, I don't know if the book of Enoch is of God. Okay? He was not found because God had translated him. Enoch was not translated by anyone but by God. And this is why his children and nobody, his servant, can find Enoch, because God was the one who translated, who moved him to heaven from the earth. It's like God, who was the one who buried Moses. Where is the body of Moses? Until this day, no one knows, because it was God who buried him. My brother and sister, God had translated him. For before his translation, before he was taken to heaven, he had a testimony. Hallelujah. And your testimony is, how you walk with God. How you please him. If you walk in obedience. if you make mistakes, but still when you repent, that God forgiven you. So those mistakes, when you repent, they are erased. My brother and sister, no more. No more. Enoch, my brother and sister, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God, Enoch had a testimony. A testimony has to be that he walked with God. We don't know how long did Enoch walk with God, but we know that in the time he walked with God, and we know also that those men in the times of Enoch, like his father, they all lived to 900 years. Okay? They all lived close to all those 900, close to 1,000 years. So this walk with God was very long. And Enoch was so well known, was a great teacher, was a great prophet. Because there's another verse about Enoch in the Bible as a great prophet. Enoch was a great prophet, my brother and sister, well known in the New Testament and Old Testament. But somehow, in the last year, he's being rejected by Christians. Oh, boy. Being rejected by people. Hallelujah. Enoch, hallelujah, had a testimony. But according to Christians today, a lot of people today, he doesn't have a testimony. Because this book, they don't believe is his. And that book is his testimony. So they want to erase that testimony of Enoch. But our Bible said that Enoch had a testimony. Enoch had a testimony. And what we get in our Bible, from everyone to Abraham, from Noah, and all the way back here to Seth, all the way to Seth, what we get in our Bible, and people don't realize this, is their testimony, how they walk with God. My brothers and sisters. How they walk with God. What do you think that is? Their testimony. Whether they were faithful, how they worshiped God, how they committed their lives to God, what they did for the kingdom. That's their testimony. When you read about Enoch, Noah, you read about his testimony. When you read about Abraham, you read about his testimony. When you read about David, you read about his testimony. When you read about Moses, you read about his testimony. My brothers and sisters, hallelujah. That's what you read. And very soon, when the church disappears, an international newspaper, what are people going to hear about this Christian? Their testimony. How they always talk about Jesus, and people rejected them, but they had their service. They continued to worship God. They continued to seek God. They continued to fast and pray. They kept talking about repentance. The church is leaving behind a testimony, my brother and sister. Testimony in heaven is very powerful, my brother and sister. You are living a testimony. So why wouldn't you not receive the testimony of Enoch? I thank you, Lord. What an awesome God. That he pleased God. Oh, I don't know about his book, you know, because he pleased God. Why would there be anything wrong about his book when he pleased God? His testimony is that he pleased God. Everything he did for the kingdom. He did for the glory of God. Did it for the glory of God. And the only way he could please God is by everything he did doing for the glory of God. My brother and sister, I thank you, Lord. Why is the church going home? Because the church has been chosen by Jesus. Many are called, few are chosen. The church that is repenting, the church that is getting ready, the church that has made herself ready when the trumpet sound, the church disappear, and the only thing a few people, thousands of people are going to say, I knew that sister, she was very humble, she was always talking about Jesus, she was always talking about the Bible, she was always looking for Jesus. Testimony, testimony, testimony after testimony, that's what's going to be going on this earth. When the church who is about to leave, who is about to disappear, that's what people are going to say. My brother and sister, they're going to talk about the church. They're going to come out with solutions. What make these people different? The people that went home with Jesus in this rapture departure of the church of Christ, what make them different from the one who stayed behind? Let's see. Let's compare. Well, I knew some of them that were always talking about Jesus, that we need to repent, that Jesus is coming for a holy bride, you know, and we thought they were crazy, they were exaggerating, we call them fanatics, you know, we thought they were out of their mind. But, you know, we went to church on Sunday, we didn't worry about this, the repenting every day, we thought that it was all taken care of at the crucifixion, and you know, we thought that we're always being saved was fine, was okay. We were always taken care of, but we find out not because we stay behind, they're going to say, oh, wow. So they shared that you needed to be holy, you needed to be righteous, but you guys said no, and that you know, Jesus did the sacrifice for all eternity. You don't need to be repenting every day and all that. So what happened? So you guys stay, and they went. So that means that they were right. Their testimony was right about Jesus. Okay? And they're going to say, yeah, we were wrong. We were wrong. We were wrong. They're going to come out to the conclusion that they were wrong, that they judge the church. They point finger to the church. But these fanatics that was always repenting and seeking Jesus disappear. And those that didn't take it serious, that did not repent, that did not look to the Lord, they're still behind facing 7-year great tribulation. How is this possible? Some people are going to say, why are we still behind? Did God loves us or not? You know, is this fair? Now we're going to have to go through the suffering, and these people are rejoicing up there. You know, is God fair? And they're going to begin to judge God now. Do they knew something we didn't know? Hallelujah. What's going on? Why did God take them and leave us? And they're angry at God. My brother and sister, but it's God who established the rule. It is God who gave his commandments to the prophet. And he said it in such a way that anyone can read his word and understand. And if the person begins to repent and see God, God will reveal himself to that person. My brother and sister, God is loving. God is merciful. You know, something happened to me this weekend that really shook me as a Christian. Shook me like you had no idea. I've never been shaking as a Christian like I've been shaking this week. I was at my brother's house, one of my younger brother's house. And his wife was talking to his mom. And she got the 5G phone. And I'm talking, and I was even sharing the word and all that. And she passed me her mom right away on the phone. And I grabbed the phone. I said hello to her mom. And I'm like, oh, no, it's a 5G. I cannot talk on this phone. And I put it on. And I was so destroyed by this. Oh, no. I had the 5G phone in my hand, I kept saying. Oh, no. And I went to repentance, Lord. And so I'm so sorry, Lord. And I told her, look, this phone, please don't give me the phone again. Sorry, because I told her, look, this cell phone, this 5G technology is evil. The wave of the 5G is microwave wave. It will burn your flesh. It really, I was repenting before the Lord. I was broken before the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. You know I didn't mean to do this, Lord, because she just passed me the phone to say hi to her mom. And I'm like, oh. So horrible. But I could feel that microwave way. And so the Lord conferred. I said, Lord, I do not want to stay now from the rapture, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, the Lord let me know, hallelujah, you know, that it was not my choice to do. And so he's forgiven me. You know, I didn't lose from going home with the Lord, my brother and sister. But I wanted to hear from the Lord about this. I was really seeking the Lord because I said, if this costs me my rapture, I'm not going to be a happy stay-behind person, okay? I'm not going to be happy. I kept thinking, how can this happen to me? Why did I take the phone? Why did I, you know? But it was something of a few, not even a minute. I reacted to it right away, put it off. No, okay? Because I remember Father's word, okay? And I remember Father Word saying that if we take that, you know, if we have that cell phone, we have the 5G, we will have to stay behind and be murdered, my brother and sister, he said. Okay? It's terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. The consequence of the 5G is preparing people to stay behind. According, that's what I understand with what my father said. Whoever uses a 5G, whoever go purchase a phone and purchase a 5G signal, the effect will be that the person will have to stay behind in the Great Tribulation. Okay? You will have to stay behind, Father says. And I take that very serious. I don't want a 5G phone. I don't want the 5G signal. And I'm warning people about it. Don't get it. Or you may be very disappointed, okay, with God. Like a lot of people get when God tells them not to do something and they do it, and then the consequences is more painful than what they expected. My brother and sister, I am telling you, do not get it. It is wicked. It is evil. And I can see she's been using this now for, I think she said a month or two. And you can see the skin on her face has begun to change. Having the phone on her face. And I said, don't get it close to your daughter. Keep it away from yourself. Don't use this. Return the phone back. She got into a plan. I said, no, return it back. Get a cheap phone. Don't get the 5G. Okay? It is bad. It is evil, my brother and sister. Okay? And I had a dream that I see most of my family stay behind, my brother and sister, in the Great Tribulation. The Lord showed them to me. And I was like, and this was years ago, before the 5G came out and all that, my brother and sister, the Lord showed me this. People that were going to get the 5G that will end up staying behind in the Great Tribulation, the Lord showed me them. And they were struggling in the Great Tribulation. They were going through a lot, very painful, very difficult. They could not understand why were they in the Great Tribulation, why they were going through all this stuff. And you know, I'm wondering what the Lord was trying to tell me back then, and now it's so clear, clearer than the sky that is clear, my brother and sister. So clear, it makes so much sense. Hallelujah. Okay? It makes so much sense now after he showed me them staying in the Great Tribulation and going through so much struggle and not understanding why. Okay? The Lord was showing me 10 years prior that the effect of the 5G will make them to have to stay behind, my brother and sister. Year before the technology went on the air, the Lord was showing me this, the effect that it will have on humanity. And why would there so many millions that stay behind, my brother and sister? The effect of the 5G. Teenager, my brother and sister, stay behind because they love their cell phone. They're always talking on their cell phone. So, you know, teenager run to Apple and all these companies to be the first to get the 5G phone. And the Lord showed me these teenagers struggling like nothing before in the Great Tribulation. They were struggling. They could not understand why. They were so frustrated. You know, my brother and sister, that's why I tell people, we need to be clear in our message. Okay? It needs to be black and white and even color. Color is that if they're teenagers who doesn't understand black and white or think that black and white is boring, as they say, look, a clear-cut message. I gave that to my nephew. Clear-cut message. He didn't want to hear it, but I already talked to the Lord about this, and I said, Lord, can I still tell him the message even though they don't want to hear it? The Lord said yes, and they didn't want to hear it. Okay? It's after them now. It's after them now. Because I was saying goodbye to them, my brother and sister. The Lord told me, say, remember the Lord came to me and said, say goodbye to your family, the Lord says. Say goodbye. Start saying goodbye to your loved one, Jesus said to me. And when he said this, I was like, I started like shaking, like nervous, like, because I knew he was talking about the departure of the bride, the rapture, you know? And I asked him today, Lord, you told me about the saying goodbye to the family. He spoke to me and said, yes, my brother and sister. So I was being sensitive to not offending the Holy Spirit when I touched the phone. Now I'm like, I'm sorry, Lord, and repenting if I offended the Holy Spirit. And you know, making sure God is still with me, that God is with me, and that, you know, we're okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Even if we have to rebuke me, and I was thinking he's going to rebuke me for this. He's going to tell me that I should have listened to him and stay away. But he didn't do that. He was loving. He's always loving. And, you know, he tender. Pray almost for 2 hours with him. He let me know that, you know, not to fear. He said, I've forgiven you. And then Father ministered to me. And, when Father ministered to me, I was like, oh, yes, 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 yes. All my concern, trouble about it went away when Father ministered to me. He's awesome. He's loving. He is caring. He is all you and I need. Okay? He's all you and I need. My brother and sister, the Lord said, I forgive you, my son. And then Father ministered, and I was like, oh, wow. His presence, his power just took away all worry or concern. I was in total peace, total shalom. No worry, no concern about it anymore. Don't think about it anymore. He just ministered to me, and Father ministered with his strong presence and glory. I mean, I felt the glory so strong that it's like I could not move. I was filled. And I knew right away that that's it. I'm so happy right now. That's what I was thinking. I'm so joyful. I'm so happy. This is where I need to be, in his presence. So I need. That's all we need. That's all that matters, being in his presence, knowing that he approves your life, he approves you, and if he receives you and approves you as a son, the Bible says, you are a son of God, and God receives you as a son, and you are in his presence, you are with him, nothing else matters. My brother and sister, his joy and his peace overwhelm me so much that no more worry about the 5G, no more worry about anything, what I went through with my family, speaking to them when I see their faces turning the other way and they didn't want to hear it anymore. And I agree with the Lord that I would say it. The Lord said yes, whether they want to hear it or not, their decision, because you know what? The Great Tribulation is not a game. Nothing to be in play to play with. When people find themselves there, which is so close now, more than ever, my brother and sister, they are going to say, how come no one told me the truth? How come no one boldly told me to my face that I was wrong? That's what they're going to say. Okay? That's what they're going to say about you, about me. How come no one boldly told me to my face that I was wrong, that I was going in the wrong way, that I needed Jesus, that I needed God? How come no one said it straightforward to me? Okay? Maybe the person is an intimidating person. And you say, how am I going to tell my cousin or my brother or my uncle this? He might even smack me. You know, you think these things. Okay? My brother and sister. But you say it anyway. You say it because God is a witness of you saying it. Angels, redeemed, you got witnesses. You have a cloud of witnesses. Okay? You say it. Look, the 5G God revealed is evil. It will lead you to the Great Tribulation. Okay? And you say it, even if you have to walk away. You say it. You know that you say it. You know that there are witnesses in heaven that you say it. You said it. They end up staying behind. It's on them. It's on them because you said it. You spoke it boldly. Even though you knew they were going to get mad, you said it. And that's what matters. Did anyone on this earth since the beginning, since God started raising his prophet to speak, and tell his people how it is, tell the nation how it is, they all got mad at them. They chased them to kill them for what they had said. People got really mad at the Christians since the beginning. But did that stop the word of God? No. No, it did not stop the word of God, no matter how angry people get. But the word needs to be said. And when we say it to our family, You can walk away and probably not even see them again. They may not see you again. Because once they're gone with the Lord, they may maybe be even looking for you. Where is she? Where is he? You know? And then, of course, some of them will believe the crazy idea that aliens took you. You know, we have aliens on the earth for thousands of years that government's going to come out with. You know that the FBI, our government, have already concluded the ideal teaching about aliens. And they're writing books, and they're writing story, and according to testimony and proof that never been shown to humanity, and so much garbage. And why are they doing this? Because they want to have a really good story for humanity after the church disappeared. Really good story after the church disappeared, my brother and sister. Their point would be, you see, we told you that was alien coming to the earth, taking people to these who knows where. And look, they took hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of our babies. We have a trouble. We might have to go to war against other planning and lines and deceiving and getting people all burned out for nothing, all concerned for nothing, my brother and sister. Okay? Bigfoot having a comeback, too. Exactly. They just want to lie to humanity. That's all they want to do, because that's what the ministry of iniquity of the Antichrist is about. That's what it's all about. Remember I told you about Donald Trump when Father told me he had given him unto them? Well, there's a prophet online that said that she saw him in a dream, and she saw, looking to him, it was nothing there, she says. There was nothing there. Someone sent me the link. I said, wow, that's a confirmation right there. My brother and sister, it is a confirmation. God's going to reveal the truth. Everything else is a story, but God will reveal the truth. And that's what we need to know, what God is saying, what God is revealing to us. And when God reveals something, we can seek it of him. The Lord had told me things like this morning, go say goodbye to your family, or say goodbye to your family. Start saying goodbye to your family, in which I said it on the Lord's Hour months ago. Listen to me again. Start saying goodbye to your family, okay? It might be the last goodbye you say to them. They may not like you because you're a Christian and you keep talking about Jesus and repenting and all that. You know, tell them about the 5G. Tell them about the things that are coming. And just say goodbye. Well, you know, I'm calling you because I wanted to say goodbye to you, you know. And you know, leave it as is. And when the church is gone, they got to make their own mind, their own heart for God. It's going to be a struggle. My son was asking me today about this. I said, look, 7-year Great Tribulation, people are not going to die in the Great Tribulation unless they are beheaded. Okay? Because he was asking me, how is it that people are not going to die? Well, the Bible says that they will flee from them. Whatever is in them, they doesn't want it. I believe they have the coronavirus in them. They doesn't want them with the coronavirus by seeing them. No way. I'm staying away from that. I got none of the technology in there. They doesn't want it. They will flee from them. Catch me if you can. People wanting to die, and they're chasing dead, and dead is fleeing, dead is running, my brother and sister. So whatever humanity is going to get in them, they doesn't want it, my brother and sister. Think about it. It's going to be horrible. Horrible. Now, I got a confirmation then. Someone from the state told me that they are planning, they're talking about next month, December, beginning to vaccinate with the coronavirus vaccine state employees, my brother and sister, state employees. It's coming down to them to be vaccinated next month. And I told this someone that needed to make a decision and that he might have to quit his job. And so he's thinking about the benefit, the money he's making. But I told him about it. Don't get the coronavirus vaccine. Don't get it. Don't. Okay? It's better for people to go hungry, go jobless, or be laid off or be fired. Do not get the coronavirus vaccine. Okay? If you don't believe me, take it in prayer to God. See God about this. Because I am very sure he will. Hallelujah. If you are his child, we'll confirm it to you through prayer and fasting. My brother and sister. Something you got to do. You got to take before God very serious. Don't take things that are important lightly. You know, I love it when some people get back to me and say, Brother Levy, the Lord confirmed to me what you said in regard to these things. Amen. Because that is someone else now who is just now saying what Brother Levy said. No, the Lord confirmed to me. The Lord told me, yes, that is true. Okay? Amen. Amen. Said the Lord confirms it to you in the worst way. Okay? It is a fact of the matter. Now, someone sent me today, I don't know if the person is a doctor, but it's from a doctor that says that, and this is late, this is like this week, a few days ago, that this person said that the what is in the coronavirus vaccine is going to change people's DNA. They have a model DNA. And when the vaccine gets injected into your body through the bloodstream, it goes into you. And it, because the vaccine contains the information of that original DNA, okay? It's like when you study Revelation 13 about the mark of the beast that the Lord says that, thank you, Lord. Let me go there for a minute. Praise you, Lord. Because I believe this is important, my brother and sister. Okay? And it goes with the name of the Antichrist. That's what it means. It goes with the name of the Antichrist. Okay? In other words, they're tying into each other. They're tied together. My brother and sister. It says, that no man might buy or sell that he, save he, okay, that have the mark. Say mean him that have the mark will be allowed to buy or sell, to do business. In the name of the beast and in his name. Number in his name. Notice how the mark of the beast, in the 666, goes hand to hand. Because the system of the Antichrist is one system. Okay, like WWW. It's one system. And everything will be integrated, is the word they use. Integrated. All together. To work all together. Okay? And now, that's another thing I heard too also in New Jersey. You cannot fly without the vaccination. That's why it's been all this hold off with the flight company, America Airlines and all these companies, because they're integrating the system right now. My brothers and sisters, you cannot go shopping without it, without the vaccination. Yes, that's the system that's going to start being introduced in the middle by the end of January. I already heard this online. Okay, the system is being tested now, and they say it's perfect. By the middle or the end of January, my brother and sister already will be working together, my brother and sister. Okay? And so all the airline companies are integrated in the system. Not only that, the bank system is already being integrated into that system. The bank system, the banking system, the monetary system, the health system, the assistance system will also go into that. The working system, my brother and sister, it's all being integrated into one system. So that's why the Lord tells us, okay, the number here, number always has to do with math, like money. And we can say social security number. It's a number. You see? Our social security number is a number. Your driving license has a number on it. That's going to be integrated in the system. Your driving license, your social security license, your passport also has a number. That's going to be integrated in the system also. Your passport, your visa. Your visa has a number, okay? Also integrated. You cannot visit any country without that visa that's integrated. Everything that runs the world right now will be integrated into the new world order. It's being integrated, my brother and sister. Actually, they've been working for a few years doing all the integration testing that when they integrate everything into the system that they're putting together will work without any problem. And so far, it's smooth. It works smooth, is what they say. Okay? So that's why the Lord tells us in his word, if you read careful, and he is wisdom, let him who have understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, for his number is 666 and 306. Okay? Notice how the Lord tells us that the number and the name are integrated. They're integrated. The number goes with the name. What is he saying? It's integrated. That's what God is saying. Let him who has wisdom understand. Notice that he says that the number goes with the name. That means they're integrated into one system. The one system, God is saying, that is integrated with the name and the number. When they put your name, all the information comes out of your life in the system. When they put your number, all the information will come out also. When the police stops you, the police will say, when all the system is already running, what is your number? So, 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 and so. When they put in your number, whoop, everything about you comes out, your name. It's an integrated system that works, my brother and sister. Okay? Yes. God has a plan. God has a plan. And what God is going to do is delay the plan. Okay, your whole life story will be there. Yes. Yes. Even in the coronavirus vaccine with the nanotechnology and AI, artificial intelligence, the numbers are in the artificial intelligence information. And it's been done so integrated, so well integrated, according to them. It's perfect. They think it's perfect because it's so well integrated. Because everything they need to know about your life will immediately be revealed to them. They're not going to have to be asking you where you've been, what you're thinking, what you purchased, what you like, what you prefer, what's your color. None of these questions they need to ask you. Once they put the coronavirus in you, the coronavirus in you with that perfect system will communicate through the 5G immediately. It will be all integrated. That they don't need to ask you any question. They will know anything they need to know about you right away, my brother and sister. Okay? Right away. So, God is telling us in Revelation 13, not knowing nobody else, so he that has a mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. What is he talking about? A fully working integrated system, God is saying to us. That will work hand to hand, either the name, either the number, the beast, it's all the same. It works together. Flawless. Flawless. My brother and sister. And then he repeats this to us. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath wisdom understand and count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. The number is 603.6. One of the things that got Bill Gates frustrated is that when they registered the virus or the vaccine, the vaccination for the coronavirus, it has as part of the number the 666. Every time they register one of these things, the 666 pops out right away. Why? Because it's all part of one system. And it cannot be denied because God knew this before he created the earth. Wicked will lead to wickedness. Sin will lead to wicked, and wicked will lead to sin, and sin will lead to death. It's all part of one system. Why do you think we're told to repent? Because if you stay in sin, you will die. It's a consequence. It's a consequence. Or death is a consequence of sin. And it's all one integrated satanic system. And the system of the Antichrist, it works the same. Satan is fallen. All him that are working with him are fallen. The fascination that they come up with is fallen. It's evil. It's satanic. It's diabolic. And Nephtalian. And it's all one integrated system. And whoever say yes to the Byzantine Father says, they will never be part of his kingdom because they become to be part of the kingdom of Satan, my brother and sister, the fallen kingdom. They'll be integrated into the satanic kingdom. And the result of that sin is evil, evil, evil. And God said they will not be part of his kingdom anymore. It's evil. Hallelujah. It's evil. And so this is why we need to continue to stay in repenting and watch and pray, as Jesus said. Because we're living in the last day, my brother and sister. We're living in we're surrounded by so much evil, okay? And so much satanic knowledge on this earth that you have to stay in the Word, focus on Jesus. Looking forward, as Father told me a few weeks ago, looking forward to be going to heaven. Hallelujah, my brother and sister. Looking forward to be going to heaven. I will not know unless God will reveal this to me. My brother and sister. I remember when I didn't really want to talk about these things. And the Lord told me not to fear. And then he had me, took me to where Satan come to accuse us. And the Lord was there with his angel, and Satan was there with his angel, accusing the church. And I was standing next to the Lord and his angel. And I heard Satan saying to Jesus, I don't want this information being revealed, because I started talking about this. The Lord was leading me to talk about this, revealing it to me, giving it to me to give it to his people. And Satan says, I don't want this information revealed. Okay? And the Lord says, well, my son will speak what I will give him to speak. The Lord says to him, no, but this information I have kept hidden, and I don't want this to be revealed. I don't want. He was concerned that this is hurting it. You know, this his. He. You should have hear him complaining to the Lord, my brother. And I know what murmuring comes, because he was murmuring. He was moving his lips like. He was telling the Lord and murmuring, my brother and sister. I understood now how evil murmuring is. He was telling the Lord how he didn't want this and that he didn't want me to speak about these things. And the Lord said that I will speak whatever he wanted me to say, my brother and sister. That's why I tell people, the Lord Jesus is my equal opportunity employer. I work for him. He hired me. Over 8 years now, going to 9. He told me to leave my job, have my office, mental health, working in mental health counselor, and he told me to leave my job, that he will pay me better than men. And I was having a conversation with Jesus. I said, Lord, you know I have good health insurance for my wife and my child, Levi, that he has given us. He said, no, leave your job. I will take care of you and your wife and your son. Trust me, he says. My brother and sister. And that conversation went on. And I said, yes, okay, Lord. And went to my boss and quit my job. They didn't want me to leave. No, 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 no. Why are you leaving? No, no, you're doing such a great job. We want you to stay. My brother and sister. But they persecuted me because there was a woman there that was sick. And I claimed healing over there. And the Lord healed her instantly. And she was claiming she was healed. She didn't need a doctor anymore, nothing else. And they were persecuting me, and they told me never to do this again. You're not here for this. Okay? Never to do this again. But God was already using me in the healing ministry, my brother and sister. They rebuked me because God used me to heal someone, that they wanted them to stay sick because the government was giving them a check for this person. And now, because she said she was healed, and she didn't need a medication or anything, my brother and sister, oh, no, this needs to be confirmed by a doctor. And the woman gets checked by one of the nurses, and she seems to be fine. You know, before she could not read, you could not pass a board, and she could read it fine. With no problem, she can see fine. With no problem, she was completely healed, and they could not comprehend this. And they rebuked me and told me never do this again. No, no, you don't do this here. This is not a church for you to be praying for people to be healed here, my brother and sister. You know, they wanted her sick. You know, it's big money. Government gives these agencies big money for people to be in sick. And if they're healed, this is a problem for them. Big problem. You know, the health industry is such a great billions of dollar business, my brother and sister, money-making machine, that in order for them to keep making so much billion, people need to be sick. You can't pray for people to be healed, because when people get healed, they don't make no money. Now they don't need medication. They don't need doctors. And that slows down their business. You know, they're getting billions of dollars, and they're able to go to Hawaii and enjoy themselves for months with their family, and, you know, losing those bonuses and all that money is really a lot for them. And for someone to come and pray in the name of the Lord and for the patient to be healed, no, this person needs to be, we need to get him out of the way. He needs to stop. And they told me to stop, never to do this again. Stop. Praise the Lord. My brother and sister, I'm like, you know, I'm thinking God is using me to help people and do something for someone who's been in pain, suffering for many years, and finally get delivered and get healed. And they think this is a big problem because she's not going to need medication. She's not going to need doctor anymore. My brother and sister, they rebuke me. They set me down and rebuke me, my brother and sister. Okay? This is where our society is, our system. Hallelujah. It's all evil. It's all wicked. It's all for the devil. It's all pointing people to hell. And not only pointing them to hell, grabbing them by the arm and carrying them there too, my brother and sister. That's why God is going to destroy it. No matter what, God was going to begin his destruction on America and the world. Okay? The Lord says, you are going to witness that, Jesus says to me. That's how mad he is. That's how mad God is. He told me, you are going to witness this. He's mad, my brother and sister. I believe in prayer. I believe in repentance. I believe that if the nation turn to God and repent, God can forgive them and repent. But, you know, my brother and sister, I don't know if they're going to. I don't know. My brother and sister, because they haven't stopped abortion. On the contrary, they're increasing it. And as Biden stays in office, not only New York will have abortion, Pelosi and their people are planning to have abortion all over California, increase it in New York, and every single state, all 50 states will have abortion everywhere, clinics and all kinds of hospitals. My brother and sister are doing abortion. Although hospitals in the United States are already doing abortion, that's a fact. That's not to be argue, but they want to increase this garbage. They want to continue to kill more babies, sacrifice more babies to the fallen angels. It's what they want to do, because the fallen angels that they're talking through CERN is requiring this of them. You want more information, sacrifice more babies to us. It's what the demons are saying. You want more information, we need more abortion. You give us more abortion, we'll give you more information. That's how they get information from them. Okay? Oh, they will not have no information. If they pass a law in New York that abortion is terminated, no more abortion, I know that those demons are going to be very angry. And no matter what they ask of those demons, they will give them no more answer. No, we're giving you nothing. You changed the way we told you we want things to be. They're listening to the devil instead of listening to God, my brother and sister. That's the fact of the matter in all this. They're sacrificing us as the Israelites when they weren't disobedient. They sacrifice the children to the demons. That's what they're doing with abortion. They're sacrificing the babies to the demons, my brother and sister. It happens even in Corinthians when Paul rebuked them. that such shall things shall not be. It's pure evil. Father cannot stand this smell coming before his throne anymore. He just wants to end all this. Put an end to it. Remember, a few years ago, 2015, Father, when I was taken to the throne, I heard Father saying to Jesus, I want my people up here. I want my people up here now, he says to Jesus. And then the Lord says, Father, look, I just say someone on earth. Okay? It's Jesus interceding me for Father. But Father wants his people up there already. He wants it up there. He says, I want my people up here now, he says. Praise you. He wants to get his church out of here. The Lord and the Father getting him the same page to get people out of here. Out of here. The destruction of America, my brother and sister, is sooner than one people thinks, my brother and sister. And when this began, my brother and sister, there's not going to be nothing stopping it. People will beg God to stop the judgment. Because once it starts through California, it's going to go all the way across America. The Lord Jesus showed me that himself. The Lord Jesus spoke to me himself about this. When this began in California, the rest of the United States is going to shake like a drunken, my brother and sister. And then not only will be hit by earthquakes, it's going to be hit by tsunami. Right when they think they're resting from an earthquake that destroyed the whole city, hallelujah, a huge wave tiding will come in and wipe out the rest. The rest that is standing, right when people have a little hope to restore San Francisco, my brother and sister, okay, to restore San Francisco, right when the earthquake hit and they say, oh, we're going to restore San Francisco, it's only going to take maybe $100 billion, we'll get it back to the way it was and all that, then comes a tsunami, whoop, and wash out the rest. People will be like, well, now it's almost impossible to restore it now. Exactly. God is putting his foot down. God is putting his foot down. People are going to see, my brother and sister, God will not be mocked. And people in San Francisco have mocked God too much already. Enough. Enough is enough. They have mocked him for too much and for too long, my brother and sister. And when God says enough is enough, enough is enough. And when he says I'm going to do something, he is going to do it. Of course, he's giving people a month and a half, 40 days to repent and turn to him. Let's see how much I repented by the end of December, my brother and sister. But when it begins and people see the damage of billions of dollars, maybe trillions, people are going to realize and say, wow, really, God was giving us time to repent, and we didn't listen. We didn't pay attention. We didn't believe. There's going to be great consequence. Disobedience. My brother and sister, look what Adam and Eve did in the garden. Look what Adam and Eve did in the garden. Did it work for them? Did it get them to get what they wanted, to be like God? The devil planted the seed that if they will eat from the fruit, they will be like God, because God knows, Satan said, that if with the day you eat from it, you will be like God. The God idea is still in people's mind. That God idea is pride. It's called pride. When pride was found in him. Okay? What was the devil pride? What did the devil say in his pride? I will go out to God's mountain and I will stay up there as God. That God idea is pride. That same idea he planted into Eve and Adam. That in the day God knows that in the day you eat from it, you will be like God. That was in the devil's heart. He spoke it unto Eve, because when God kicked him out of heaven, God kicked him out of heaven when pride was found in him. He was perfect unto the day he was made, but when pride was found in him, that's the evil seed of pride, that he wanted to be like God. He still has that. He still has that in his heart. So when he went to Adam and Eve, he planted that seed into Eve. He spoke his own pride, and that pride he received in Adam. And what happened? They went and ate from the fruit. Did they find to be like God? No, they find themselves naked, fallen, weak. Hallelujah, weak. Before they could walk over water, they could fly. Now no more flying, no more walking over water, no more moving like angel. I'll give you an example. The Lord showed me there's a great example in the millennium. The bride of Christ, because she go home in the rapture departure, the Lord showed me the bride is going to get this privilege, this blessing. The bride will be able to move like angel. The bride will be able to fly. The bride will be able to walk over water like Adam, my brother and sister. But here's the thing. After people begin to sin, the Lord showed me in the millennium, they lost the ability to be able to move like angel, fly. They lost the ability to be able to walk like water. Instead of flying like angel, now they have to take the bus. They have to take a car, my brother and sister. Isn't that where we are today after we lost it in the garden? Now we got to take a motorcycle. We got to take a car to be able to travel or take a plane. Humanity begins perfect in the millennium. The church comes down. She's able to fly. She's able to move like angel. She's able to walk over water. She has all this power of God in her. And by the 600-700 years into the millennium, the church finds herself now taking buses, driving cars, not as a privilege, as a need. Because they say driving is a privilege. But a lot of people cannot get to work unless they drive. Now they need to drive. But when before they could fly. And they're going to have all that memory. Man, I used to fly. I used to get it to Jerusalem in seconds. Now I'm going to have to take a bus to Jerusalem. That's going to take me days now. Exactly. Or horses. Amen. You know? God will give you. That's why God tells us to be in obedience, my brothers and sisters, to be obedient. Because in obedience, you can move in the power of God. You'll have all this blessing. But when we decide not to, we lose. Look at Adam and Eve. They lost all this. When God said he'd given them power over the earth, over the birds, or the air, that means they could fly. All the power that God gave Adam and Eve, that means they could fly. They can move like angels. They lost it when they received the pride of the devil, my brother and sister. Praise you, Lord. Now, the Lord's given me this week a beautiful observation. Been wondering, Lord, you know, when is this revival coming? When is all this stuff is going to happen? How is it going to happen? How is the bride going to move in the power of God? Okay, because this is how the Lord showed it to me. We get the earthquake in California, eastern tsunami, and at the same time, right now, the war in Israel is being worked out between Iran and Israel. Okay, so all these things are so close to happening, my brother and sister. So when I wonder the Lord how he's going to use the church, and he given me a vision where I saw myself after Jesus glorified our body, I saw myself in the Middle East, and I was preaching the Lord to them, to the people on the street. And all of a sudden, one of the Middle East army came after me with tanks and weapons. And I turn around in the power of God, my brother and sister, and I just move my hand, and all the tanks were flying away like I just hit it with a missile, my brother and sister, like not, even stronger than Superman. I just move my hand, whoop, and all the cars were being, hallelujah, flipping. The tank was flipping. The military vehicle was flipping. And the Lord says, my church will have that power. Whoa, I didn't know this. I didn't know this, my brother and sister. I didn't know this. The Lord is going to empower his church in this revival to come, to move in the power of God. And there will be no earthly military, okay? No earthly military. I believe this is before the Great Tribulation, okay? Someone says in the beginning, but I believe it's before. The Lord showed me. There's not going to be any earthly army that is going to stop his church because he's going to empower his church. And when any of them comes against his church will have the power, my brother and sister, to flip them over the air and destroy their vehicle. Simple. I just moved my hand, and I heard when the Lord says, my church will have the power over them. And I was like, whoa. Okay? Whoa. My brother and sister, okay? The church, until now, everything seems to be like quiet, like waiting. We've been waiting. But the Lord spoke to me very strong when I was able to do this in the Middle East and flip all their vehicle. You know, these Arabs, these what do they call them? These terrorists, like in Iran, think that they can chase off anyone who's preaching about Jesus. Not anymore. They grab them. They want to put a knife to their neck and cut off their head. Not anymore, my brother and sister. When the Lord sends us up there, they're not going to be able to do that. Mm-mm. You can raise your hand in the power of God, and they will be flying in the air, 30 feet in the air, far away from you, my brother and sister. Okay? It's how God will lead you, and you will do it, and you will not think about it. You'll keep preaching to these other people. Because God will put a power in you that those that you will talk to, they are going to listen. Because they're going to see on you the power of God like they never seen before, my brother and sister. Okay? And so it's going to be, God is going to do this. This is the last rain. God is going to do this because he promised us he was going to do this. I've been asking the Lord and wondering when and how, and he let me know. And this stuff is close. This stuff, my brother and sister, there's not much. You can already see the signs, earthquake in California, the war in Israel that is already being worked out. Watch the news. Go on YouTube and put in there what's going on with Israel and Iran. Okay? It's all happening right now. Okay? And so the Lord is going to use the church to in this last reign to pour out his power in a special way. And then after they see the evidence of the power of God, like he did through the disciple, even more powerful, my brother and sister, then the Lord says to his bride, all right, come home, my bride. Come home. Okay, and that's it. They're going to have to face 7 years, my brother and sister. Okay, if they don't, I believe it's a time where God will give them a decision to make. Okay, because as far as I know, the Lord showed me the door is about to be closed. So I don't know exactly how all this is going to be unfolding. But I believe, as the Lord showed me, everything is going to have to be supernatural. Because the door is not closed yet. There's still a gap to enter. And the Lord can supernaturally enter these people through that gap. But it's going to have to take the power of God. Okay? And God, of course, is going to do this because he promised the last rain. This is his promise. This is not something we're making up. He said through his prophet, he will give us the last rain. Okay? The last pouring of his Holy Spirit. And it's because this is promise he's going to do so. He's going to fulfill it. And he's going to fulfill it in a supernatural way, my brother and sister. The bride of Christ is about to enjoy that power before it goes to heaven. I don't know for how many months, though. I know it's short. I tell you, it's short. If you're wondering, it's going to take years, no. It is a short thing. So I don't know if it's one season, 3 months, okay? It might be, okay? So, and some of you are appointed for this by the Lord, chosen by the Lord to do this, okay? Chosen by the Lord. But again, once he comes to you and you see him, ask him, okay? Ask him. When you see him face to face, okay, say, Lord, please tell me what you want me to do, where, okay, you want me to go there? He will empower you, and you go ahead and do it. Do it for the glory of God. Do it for his glory. But go ahead and do it. Okay? And you don't have to be a show-off. Oh, let me show them the power of God. Because the whole purpose is for you to lead people to Christ. And it may take you to, you know, show off the power of God for them to believe. Because humanity has gotten to the point, I believe, is that they're going to have to see God's power. Simply. Because we've been talking about it for so many years. And people are wondering about this. And I believe when the youth and humanity see the power of God with their own eyes, my brother and sister, you know, they're going to say, wow, we missed this. We wanted this. My brother and sister, I believe there's a lot of sleeping bride that the Lord's going to awake this way. Okay? They might be awake to die for the Lord in the Great Tribulation. Okay? Now, let me tell you about COVID. My niece tested positive for COVID. And my sister called me, concerned. She's going crazy. Oh, you know, and she's getting very sick. She's in the hospital, and it's like she's. So I went to the Lord about it, you know, and the Lord said, pray for her. Pray for her. And so I began to pray for her because I know the Lord can heal anything. Okay? He has the power. And I began to pray for her. When she was released, because she got well in the hospital, she got released, they tested her again. She tested negative. So the Lord healed her, my brother and sister. And it was so shocking that she had a third test and it's still negative. Because they say, oh, some of the tests are faulty. You never know. And I got to make sure. So they took her to, and they did another testing that they say it is impossible for that other test to test negative if she's positive. They have another way. I don't know if it's through blood or how it is, but they did that other testing, and she came out negative again. Okay? But she had all the symptoms. When she went into the hospital, she had all the symptoms of COVID-19. All the symptoms. The doctor, nurse, they were sure she had it. Tested positive. And I began to ask the Lord to heal her, and now it's gone. Glory be to the Lord. Okay? My brother and sister, he removed the COVID-19. My brother and sister. I heard a testimony of another brother I was sharing with my wife early that he started getting sick. He's like, he was concerned for himself. He's a believer. He went to the hospital. And he told the nurse, and they began to talk to him, and so what do you feel, how you feel? And he began to tell him how he feel, how he was getting dizzy, how that all the symptoms of COVID-19. And the nurse says, you have it. And he says, no, I don't have it. And the nurse says, sir, you have it. Look, I've been working all year long with patients with COVID-19. You have COVID-19. Okay, we're going to do the testing, but I already know you have it. Nurse says to him, he says, no, I don't have it. I'm a Christian. I believe God can heal me. I know I'm healed by his stripes. There's no way I can have COVID-19. He says, I'm a believer. My concern is that I get this cold every year, and I believe I have this cold, he says, because I get it every year, but it goes away with medicines and all that. And if you can give me some medication, I'll take it. But I know I don't have COVID-19 because I'm a believer. Okay? By his stripes, I'm healed. I had no COVID-19. Okay? He persisted. She persisted that he had it. He persisted that he didn't have it. And when they did the testing, he didn't have it. My brother and sister. And he says, I'm not going to receive from you COVID-19. Because, you know, these people, there's a lot of people that go there with a cold. Oh, you got a COVID-19, and the next day, they come out in a coffin. No, they're dead. That's it. My brother and sister, they die. Okay? Because you're under that effect of the 5G, and whatever symptom you have, the 5G will amplify it, and it kills you. And they say COVID kills you, my brother and sister. It's tough. We're living in the last day. Got to remember that. We're living in the last day, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Lord, we pray for this brother in the name of Jesus Estrada. Hallelujah. That by the stripe of Jesus, by the wound of Jesus, we bind or the spirit of COVID-19, the sickness of COVID-19 will rebuke it out of his body. In Jesus' name, by the stripe of Jesus, thou art healed. Receive it. I thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, heal him. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, by the stripe of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. You are healed by his stripe. You are healed by his wound. Believe it and receive it in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Yeshua. Oh, symptom, Lord, we bind those symptoms, spirit symptom to go out of his body by the stripe, by the wound of Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Receive your healing. Say, Lord, I receive it. Receive it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, by the stripe, by the wound, Lord, strengthen his body. Lord, hallelujah, Lord, boost his immune system, Lord, in Jesus' name. By the stripe, by the wound of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It is done by his stripe. Believe it. Hallelujah. I get a confirmation of my spirit that it's done. It is removed. In the name of the Lord. Praise you, Lord. I didn't know the Lord wanted to heal someone tonight. Oh, glory be unto him. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Who else is having symptoms? I don't know. I feel a healing anointing going on right now. And whoever's feeling symptoms right now, let me know. We'll pray. We'll command it to go. Praise you, Jesus. By his stripe, by his wound, you are healed. You are healed. You are healed. Believe it. Praise you, Lord. We command, Lord, healing. My brother back pain, Lord Jesus, by your stripe, by your wound right now, Lord, we claim healing over his back, Lord. We rebuke all pain. Hallelujah, we command, Lord, the tendons, the muscle, Lord, in his body to be aligned according to thy word. In Jesus' name, Lord, give him healing. We rebuke all healing, all attack, witches and world are to go in Jesus' name by the stripe of Jesus. Yes, you, Lord. Yes, you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, heal that tumor, headache, Lord, or infection in that tumor, Lord, by your stripe, by your wound, Jesus. I speak to that infection. I speak to that pain to go in Jesus' name, by the, hallelujah, by the stripe, by the wound of Jesus, go. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Heal, healing, complete healing, Lord. Take the pain away, Lord Jesus. Restore and repair, Lord Jesus. Make new. You make or take new, Jesus. Make a new in Jesus' name. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Yeshua. What an awesome God we serve. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else needs healing? Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It is done by his stripe, by his wound. You are healed. The Lord heal you. Whatever back pain, we command the back pain to go. Muscle pain, headaches, migraine headache, go in Jesus' name. By the stripe, by the wound of Jesus. Hallelujah. Stomach pain. We bind the stomach pain to go in Jesus' name. By the stripe, by the wound of Jesus, you are healed. You are healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, hallelujah. Shoulder pain. I speak to that shoulder to be aligned and needs to be aligned by the word of Jesus. Hallelujah. By the wound of Jesus, you are healed by his stripes. Hallelujah. I claim healing right now over your shoulder, over your knees right now to be aligned in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I rebuke a spirit of sickness to go. In Jesus' name, they're leaving, they're leaving, they're running. They're running for their life. They're running for their life. By the wound of Jesus, you are healed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let him touch you there. Let him touch you there. Let him heal you there. Receive it. Receive it by his stripes, by his wound. Receive it. He did it for you on the cross. Receive it. Receive what he did on the cross for you. Claim what he did on the cross for you. Say, I receive what you did on the cross for me. In Jesus' name, Yeshua name, receive it. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Those demons are running. The attack is running. The yoke is being broken. In Jesus' name, I bind the yoke, the demon, the principality we bound them to. Go in Jesus' name. They're running for their life. They are running for their life. I thank you, Jesus. Lord, align the knees, the shoulder, a completely healing, Lord. Raise your protection in the wall of fire, Lord. Keep those demons away. In Jesus' name, by the stripe, by the wound of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. By his wound, by his stripe, you are healed. We're going to have a wonderful healing program next month. Wonderful. I expect supernatural healing going on next month. My brother and sister, you do not want to mix next month's healing program. It's going to be, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit is going to move. God is going to move with such a strong anointing and strong power. The sickness are not going to stay 1 second. Once we pray over the sick, not 1 second was the sickness stay. They'll run, they'll flee. My brother and sister, people will be like, I'm healed, I'm healed. Praise you, Lord. We done healing program on the air where just speaking the word without even praying for people. People are telling me, I'm Brother Elvis, as you're speaking, I'm being healed right now, people say. Right now, as you're speaking, I am being healed, Brother Elvie. Without me even praying for the sick, people as they're listening, they're being healed. We're going to have those healing again in the name of Jesus. My brother and sister, the Lord's been speaking to me about faith. Faith, bring back my son. Teach him about faith. Faith again. Bring him the teaching again. Yes, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Growing in faith is so important, my brother and sister. Praise you, Lord. You doubt, you don't receive. You don't believe, you don't receive. You got to believe to receive. He'll do it. When you receive it, he'll do it. Lord, increase their faith. Increase the faith. I rebuke doubt. I rebuke unbelief. In Jesus' name, right now, go. All thoughts, all feeling, all desire, doubt, unbelief, go. All teaching, go. In Jesus' name, Lord, increase the faith. Increase the faith to believe your word, your reading word, your life word, your powerful word. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Increase the faith, Lord Jesus. The faith, Lord. No more doubt. Thou go in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. We walk by faith, not by sight. The Bible says. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Rebuke all pride down and believe in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We started rebuking spirit. The connection of many people got disconnected on the cell phone. My brother and sister, the whole thing was full of cell phones. And when we started rebuking, the cell phone got disconnected, my brother and sister. Got attacked, people. People connection got attacked right away. Praise you, Lord. Rebuke it in the name of the Lord. And then people now able to connect again and listen. Thank you, Jesus. The devil don't want people to hear about the things God can do in the now in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Because if you do, you're going to receive. And your faith is going to increase. Hallelujah. And you're going to move in that faith that God's going to do. Hallelujah. What you're asking him to do. I thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. The Lord really encouraged me when he gave me the vision because I saw myself moving in God's power, in the supernatural God's power. And God said, look what I'm preparing you for, my son. And show me when I saw myself, hallelujah. But I'm not the only one. You are also the bride of Christ. It's going to be changed and transformed, Paul says, as the last trumpet. It's coming. What a glory, my brother and sister. Saw myself in the mighty glory of God, moving in the power of God. I'm like, whoa. Hallelujah. He showed me what I wanted to know for me to see the God. With God, he reminded me all things are possible. Praise you. It's so exciting to see the glory of God, the power of God in such a mighty way. Thank you, Jesus. God wants us to move. Hallelujah. Believing him. Forget about what other people are saying. Believe what God says in his word. It's what God says in his word that matter. It's what God says in his word. He's going to fulfill, I thank you, Jesus, because he's faithful. He is faithful. You believe him, he's going to make it, he's going to bring it to pass, simple. He makes it to pass because he's faithful. He fulfilled his word. I thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. All symptom, a cold, I rebuke of allergy. Go in Jesus' name by the stripe of Jesus. We are healed. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Praise you, Lord. Yes. Praise you, God. When the power comes, I feel all that. Blackness, just go like that. Coldness, and praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. God is awesome. He's our healer. He is the God that healeth thee. Hallelujah. He says he sent his word and healed them. Sent his word. And will heal you. Thank you, Jesus. So when you hear the word, say, yes, Lord, I receive your word. Thank you, Jesus. That comes for your healing, Lord Jesus, by faith in Jesus' name. Believe God. Believe him. He'll do it in your life. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Yeshua. Praise you, Lord. We're going to have a wonderful program next month. We're going to fast and we're going to pray as we have done before. At least 2 weeks ahead of time or three, fast and pray, my brother and sister. It don't matter who is going to be healed. No matter who is going to be delivered. No matter who is going to be baptized, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. We're going to pray for miracles, signs, and wonders. Hallelujah. Whatever God wants to do in people's life, we're going to pray for them. And God is going to do it. We're going to rejoice together in the name of the Lord for what the Lord is doing. Praise you, Jesus. God is the witness of the gift of Abel. You want God to be a witness of your gifts? Do you want Father to be a witness of your gifts? Do you want Father to be a witness of the gift he gives you? Do you say amen? I just read it to you. God is a witness of his gifts because it was God who gifted him. It was God who gave Abel the gift of the Spirit. It was God who implanted in his life the gifts. And God is a witness of that. And God will be a witness of you when he will impart in you his gift, the gift of his Spirit, to use you, to empower you. Will he impart his glory on you? And you move in the power of God. God is a witness to you about you. No matter what people say, God is your witness. Say it. God is my witness. Say it. Don't fear. God is my witness. Say it. God was the witness of Abel. God can be the witness of you. Say, my Father in heaven is my witness. My Father in heaven is my witness. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is my witness. That's the witness of the bride. That's the witness of the sons of God. God wants to be your witness. Because talking about being your witness talks about relationship between you and God. Enoch walked with God and had a testimony that he pleased God. I thank you, Jesus. There is a testimony of you that God speaks about you, that you walk with him and that you have pleased him. I thank you, Jesus. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Enoch walked with faith with God because he pleased him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You want to be like Enoch, walk by faith, and you please your Father who is in heaven. Pray to your Father who is in heaven, Jesus said when he taught his disciple to pray. It's your Father in heaven who hears your prayer. It is your Father in heaven who watches over you. I thank you, Jesus. He wants to give you. He knows how much you need him, how much we need him every day. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Yeshua. Some of you needed to hear this word. Some of you have been discouraged. Some of you have been wondering when God is going to move in the bride, when God will bring the power of his word, when God's going to fulfill things. You're going to see the fulfillment of his word come to pass in the world and in your life too. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, ye are my witnesses. The bride of Christ is the witness of God on this earth. And the bride of Christ will see the judgment come to the earth, but will also experience the power of God on this earth. And the world will see the power of God in the church before the church is taken. My brother and sister, we are his witness. Hallelujah. And the world is going to witness the power of God in the church. My brother and sister, know that your relationship is with your God and that your God is going to fulfill in your life everything he promised you online. He's going to fulfill, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Having my Father today comfort me. Hallelujah. It meant so much to me as to be in trouble with a 5G signal. The Lord said, I forgive you. And then Father, hallelujah, brought his presence over me very strong. Hallelujah. Like my child, do not fear. Hallelujah. You are my child. He comforted me like a father takes a son in his hand and comfort him, letting him know I am with you. I got you among the palm of my hand. You don't need to fear. You don't need to be afraid because God says to me twice, I'm in control, he says to me in heaven. And because I fear him, of course I will be worried. Making sure it's about pleasing him, my brother and sister, loving him, hallelujah, and being in that relationship with him. I do not want to miss the rapture for anything on this earth. Do not want to miss when I, because I had the experience of the rapture. I seen Jesus in the cloud standing there, and I standing there looking at his beauty, at his glory, stunned by his beauty, seeing his glory over the cloud, and I seeing the bride coming into the cloud like lightning from the earth. Hallelujah, as the bride is changed, as the bride is transformed. My brother and sister, it's the most beautiful things I ever saw. The most beautiful things I ever saw, my brother and sister. Praise you, Lord. I thought in my life the most tragic things when I lost my father when I was 7. My brother and sister, no. But I understood later the most wonderful thing was for me to lose my earthly father, because then I got to know my heavenly father. And when my heavenly father came to me, he says, I love you, my son. You are my son that I have chosen before the foundation of this earth. When God told me how much he loved me, it melt my heart. It melt me all that I wanted to hear from my earthly father who passed away when I was 7. Now, when father spoke to me, all that went away. I didn't have no more all that, because now I knew I met my real father, the one that cannot be cured by time or sickness or anything else. My earthly father died because his liver, hallelujah, got destroyed with alcohol. My brother and sister, but God had mercy with him. He repented of drinking too much, and the Lord visited him in the hospital. And from there, the Lord took him home to heaven, and I see my father in heaven. And I have hugged my father and told him that I miss him very much. Hallelujah. But what I have come to understand is that my heavenly father loved me so much, and that's the love that I need. I need his love. I do not want to be without his love. His love. God is love. He is love. Cannot be compared with anything you and I know. His love is true love. My brother and sister, it is so pure. His love is so holy. But his love is so pure, my brother and sister, without anything. When Jesus said, I forgive you, and Father embraced me with his love, I was being loved like never been loved before. His love is amazing. When you have his love, you don't want nothing else in your life. He fills your in and out completely. You don't want nothing else. His love is all we need. My brother and sister, it's all we need is his love. The greater pain that people have in hell is that they don't have God with them anymore in hell. My brother and sister, that is the greater pain. They know the fire is there. The demons are there. But the greater pain in hell was being without God. That's the greater pain why they cry so much, because they don't have God anymore. But the greater joy in heaven is having God in your life. If being close to God and God being with you and you're being one with him, being in that oneness with God, and that perfect oneness, my brother and sister, hallelujah, is the greater joy in heaven, being one with God. Hallelujah. You can see so much and enjoy so much in heaven, but nothing can be compared of the joy being one with God. There's nothing more joyful than that. Hallelujah. It will fill you like you never known before. My brother and sister, when you go home to the wedding celebration, hallelujah, Father will welcome those that can come to the third heaven and third throne to see Father. And Father is going to welcome them. When you meet your Father, that great giant, that great I am, hallelujah, that is so big. When you meet your Father and he embraces you with his love, hallelujah, you are going to say, it was all worth it. I will give anything for this love. Hallelujah, you're going to say, nothing, hallelujah, can give me this joy and this fulfillment in my life than my Father. Hallelujah. He is all we need. He is all we need. Everything else with his love fades away. It fades away. It dissipates away when you are embraced by his love. Nothing else matters. Solomon said, vanity of vanity is all vanity. Hallelujah. Nothing can be compared to the love of Father. And it's available to his children when they come to him. Praise the Lord. God loves you. Hallelujah. And wants you to spend eternity with him. He's inviting you to come to heaven and spend eternity with him. Will you say yes to your Father? Will you say yes to your Father who wants you to come home with him? Hallelujah. And spend eternity with him. Thank you, Lord. He has many stories to tell you, and they're all true. He has so much to teach us, and they're all true, my brother and sister. And I can't wait to hear him teaching me. Maybe sitting on his lap and say, Daddy, teach me. Teach me. Teach me. Hallelujah. Because he will teach us. He will sit us on his lap and teach us. My brother and sister, you do not want to come on from this throne. When people go to heaven, the redeemed, when they go to the throne of Father, and they spend time with Father, and it's time for them to come back to leave, they don't want to leave. No, no, no. And the angel said, he will invite you again. You'll be with him again. They're like, whoa, it's so awesome to be with Father. Hallelujah. He loves you. He loves you so much. No one can love you more than him. And you're going to know that Jesus and him are one in the Holy Spirit. And there's no more wondering whether it's God. Jesus is God. Hallelujah. God revealed himself to us through his Son. Thank you, Lord. You are going to enjoy your God who loves you so much, who welcomes you into his heaven through Christ, through the sacrifice on the cross. He loves you. You are going to enjoy his presence forevermore. Hallelujah. I was concerned with how many people will make it to eternity, because at one time I only saw a few from the millennium. And then the Lord, me not knowing, the Lord wanted to give me a vision, and he took me to eternity. And this time, as I was looking at the arrival of thousands upon thousands upon thousands began to arrive in eternity from the millennium. They just began to arrive and come forward from the millennium. I was so concerned that as many as the sand of the sea will be lost, as the Bible says, Revelation 20. But there's a great multitude also that, hallelujah, that'll say no to Satan and say yes to Father. And they will come into Father to eternity. And the Lord wanted me to see all these multitudes began to arrive. And I began to rejoice and rejoice and rejoice of how many people made it. Hallelujah. There are people that love God and they don't care about anything else. They're only looking forward to spending eternity with God. I was rejoicing. The Lord wanted me to see, like, my son, you don't need to be, hallelujah, you don't need to be sad for people, because the Lord is going to help us to make it to eternity. The Lord knows our weakness. God's not going to give us more than what we can handle. And Jesus will be there in Jerusalem. And we can ask the Lord, may I come to Jerusalem and speak with you, Lord? And the Lord said, yes, come, my child. And everything we need out of him, we can ask him, my brother and sister, Lord, help me. Hallelujah. I began to ask the Lord, Lord, help me. Help me, Jesus. He knows my cry. He knows when I'm desperate. I come to him very desperate. Lord, help me. Look the mistake I made, Lord. Pick up the phone, Lord. Lord, did not take away from me your Holy Spirit, like David said in Psalm 51. Lord, I'm sorry. Hallelujah. And there he was, ministering to me. Lord, I'm so sorry, Lord. Please forgive me. Help me, Lord. Is it me now I'm going to have to stay for the great tribulation, Lord? I do not want to stay. You know my heart, Lord. I don't want to stay. Please, Lord, I need to hear from you. And he came and comforted me. Praise your Lord. Very desperately I cry. Like someone who's on the way to hell and doesn't want to end there and knows how bad it is. And I'm desperate. Desperate for him. And what he said to me, remember his throne in heaven. Come to me. Tell him to come to me. And I will meet them halfway. He met me halfway in my cry. And ministered to me. Fear not. I'm here for you. Praise your Lord. He's so awesome. He is so great. Why would we need anything else? We don't. My brother and sister. Society and the devil and the system is lying to people. Thinking that if they have these other things, they'll be fine. No. We'll only be fine with Jesus, with God in our lives. My brother and sister, praise your Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord wanted me to speak tonight. I was saying in the car as I was driving here, in the minivan, Lord, I'm too tired, Lord. I don't think I'm going to go on the Lord Tower. I'll pray it now, dear Lord. Lest you want me to go. He's like, no, I'm going to give you the strength. He began to give me the strength. Hallelujah. But he stayed with me. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. So I could come tonight because he knew that there are people that their faith is low, that they're doubting, that they're going through things in their life that are difficult. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He stayed with me and comforted me the rest of the way. And I know how the Lord is with me. He was in the car. He was in the minivan. I can feel him there. Like, oh, he's still with me. And I'm driving hours after hours. He's still there. My brother and sister, praise the Lord. And I'm like, wow, he is so awesome. You know, I think he was going to come and minister to me, then leave me. But no, he's there. There. And still stay with me tonight to give out the word. Because my body is very tired. Only 5 hours of sleep. 5.5 hours of sleep. My brother and sister, maybe less. And I was tired. And then driving all those hours, he stayed with me. He stayed with me. My brothers, he knew I needed him to give me the strength. Praise your Lord. Because we need him. Not only do you need him, I need him too. We all need him. And he's here for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus loves us. He died for us on the cross. We forget, my brothers and sisters, the pain he went through for us on the cross. Don't forget his pain. You are focused so much on your pain. You're so focused on your pain that you are forgetting his pain. Remember his pain for you. When the devil reminds you of your pain, remember his pain for you. You think it was easy to carry your sin? You think it was easy to be wounded for your sin, for your transgression? The Bible says, remember his pain. And when you remember his pain for you, whatever you're going through will dissipate because his pain is much greater. But he did it because he loves you, because you and I are his child. That's why you are his child. Remember his pain. How unimaginable, how difficult, how unbearable for you and I. Don't let the devil talk to you about your suffering and your pain and your situation to have you forget about the cross. The cross is our victory. Remember what Jesus did on the cross. He overcame death. He overcame the world. He overcame sickness. He overcame pain. My brother and sister, to make you and I more than an overcomer, Hallelujah. Why did the devil want you to focus on your situation? Because when you are focused on your situation, you sink. You begin to lose faith. And you begin, I was telling my wife, that when the Bible says because of evil, the many, because evil began to multiply or increase, the many, the love of many will wash cold, will turn cold. My brother and sister, it will go cold on people. Why Christians are turning so cold? Why people are turning so cold? Because they see the wickedness and the evil on this earth. And that, focus so much on that, turn their love, their lamps off. Their lamps start going off on them. My brother insisted. But the way to fill your lamp with oil is to focus on Jesus. And for you to remember what Jesus did for you and I on the cross, how he suffered. My brother insisted. When you focus on his pain, when you focus on his suffering for you and I, your light inside began to lit off. A powerful light in you, because that is the true. What you're going to now through now is not the true. It was what Jesus did on the cross. See, what you're going through now, my brother and sister, is a lie. Our whole system is a lie. Bible insisted. True is what Jesus did on the cross. That's what truth is. And when you embrace what he did, it'll set you free. He came to set the captive free. Hallelujah. Whom the Son shall set free, it is free indeed. Hallelujah. The devil, when he comes to you, he comes to you with lies. He comes with you with the light of this world. Don't be open to receive his garbage. Be open to receive the truth, and the truth will set you free. I thank you, Jesus. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. He gave your life for you. He gave his life for you and I. Thank you, Lord. Focus on what he did. Focus on him. Focus on him. Everything else will dissipate. Thank you, Lord. You already have victory over this world, my brother and sister, over your situation. No matter what you're going through, you have victory over sickness, over anything, financial problem. You have victory over it. Begin to claim it. Begin to rebuke your financial problem, your financial situation. Begin to rebuke it. Rebuke it in the name of the Lord. Take authority over it. In the name of the Lord, watch what happened. Watch what happened. Hallelujah. Begin to grow in faith. Lord, increase my faith, Lord. Increase my faith, Jesus. Increase my faith, Lord. I do not want to walk by doubt and unbelief. I begin to rebuke all doubt and unbelief. Lord, out of my life, out of my mind, hallelujah, out of body, soul, and spirit, in Jesus' name, they were destroyed. Jesus said, begin to proclaim his promise over your situation, over your life. Fill your mind with the word. So the devil doesn't fill your mind with the light of this earth, my brother and sister. Praise to Jesus. Hallelujah. Fill your mind with his word. Fill your heart with his word. Fill your heart with Jesus when you fill it with the word. Be in the word all day, every day, as much as you can. Praise you, Lord. And you're going to find out that the years are going to go by. God will begin to bless you. God will begin to increase you. And Jesus is going to use you. But we don't have years anyway. Jesus is coming. Bride, you're going home. Hallelujah. You are going home. This is all going to begin to end. Very soon, you're going to begin to see destruction. Enough fear. Do not be afraid. Get on your knees. Pray. Cry out to the Lord. Lord, help me. Keep us and our family. My brother and sister, the United States have days ahead that are very troubling to a lot of people. When they begin to see the earthquakes and tsunami happening, like the preacher, God spoke through his servant. God doesn't do anything before he reveals it to the servant. He does. Before he does anything, he reveals it to the servant, his servants. Hallelujah. But God is revealing to his servant, the prophet, the things that are about to come, my brother and sister. Okay? He's revealing it. And they're going to begin to unfold. They're going to begin to unfold. Lord, hallelujah, unblock PayPal. Rebuke the demon in PayPal that is blocking, my brother and sister, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. God, my brother and sister, God, brother saying that they're blacking his paper. God, thank you, Lord, is going to begin to do things for people to see. My brother and sister, like the judgment here. Hallelujah. Next year, the coronavirus is going full force. Full force, my brother and sister. Hear the word of Sister Barbara. Been confirming what the Lord told me to say, or show me to say, my brother and sister. Things, hallelujah, God will continue to confirm his word through the different prophets, my brother and sister, because the judgment that is coming, people, hallelujah, now scientists are saying that California is about to encounter an earthquake. So what the enemy is doing is trying to say to the church, your prophet has said that judgment is coming from God, but now that the scientists are saying, it's like saying that the prophets are liars, okay? Because scientists already have said it. See, they want to bring confusion on people, okay? That's what they want to do. They want to bring confusion on people. For people to doubt God, that, oh, God did not say that, the scientists said it. That's what they want to do, my brother and sister. Okay? But yes, the scientists have talked about the earthquake, but not the tsunami. When the earthquake hits, watch how the tsunami comes. Not the same day, not right away, but it's coming. My brother and sister will come. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Now scientists are saying it, getting people to doubt. But don't doubt. Repent of any doubt. Believe God's word. Jesus said in the last day, there will be earthquake in diverse places. Okay? He said it in Matthew 24. It's not something that we're making up. He'll tell us in what city these things would happen, of course. He will reveal that to us, his servant the prophet, before he does it. It's in his word, my brother and sister. So he's telling us when are these things are going to happen. Hallelujah. People are going to see it. And then people are going to be shocked, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. But the eastern tsunami is also coming. The war in Israel is also coming. It's already forming. And Israel thinks that they're going to get support from the friend. No, they're not. My brother and sister, no, they're not. Things are going to change. So what it means is that we need to pray for Israel. When we see this war begin, my brother and sister, Obama sold weapons to Iran when he was in office that no one knows how much. No one knows how much. This was all done secretly. No one knows how much. Why? To prepare them against Israel. For those are his brothers. Okay? Israel will be deceived in this war, my brother and sister. Only God can give Israel the victory. Okay? Only God can give Israel the victory. We need to pray for Israel, my brother and sister. Okay? Because it's going to be an eye-opening for them. You're going to remember this. I said this. For them, it's going to be an eye-opening for Israel, okay? Because Iran will surprise them. They got ready for this war that is coming. Iran is ready. They got missile hitting on the earth that when they launch them, their American missile, it's going to be sad, my brother and sister. Sad. Very sad, okay? God will bring judgment, of course. We will see God's hand in all this. When they have raised against Israel an army that you cannot even count of men, of machines, to go against Israel, that's when the Lord fought. Because the Lord, see, the Islamic nations want to erase them from the map, kill every Jewish in Israel. And the Lord God is not going to allow that. God's not going to allow that. Their plan to destroy Israel, God is not going to allow that. But Israel will have to have an eye-opening in all this. Because the Bible says in Romans 11 that all Israel is going to be saved. Okay? Somewhere, they're going to have an eye-opening in all this. They're going to have to know that their dependency is not on their army, is not on men, is on God, the God of Israel. Okay? You read that throughout the Bible, the God of Israel. God is the God of Israel. He will fight for them. I get worried when I hear someone criticizing Israel in a negative way, because those are God's people, the apple of his eyes. He will fight for them, my brother and sister. Okay? Yes, it's truly from Iran that they're going to get attacked, because Obama sold them the weapons, and they're very high-tech weapons, and they're hidden. They got them hidden somewhere. Someone said it under the mountain, and the mountain are going to open in Iran, and these missiles are going to come so fast to Israel that they'll be surprised. See, Israel sold United States intelligent weapons, and then they build these missiles, and the same missile that Israel gave to United States has been sold to Iran, and they're going to be attacked with their own weapons, my brother and sister, in the days to come. They'll be surprised. They don't expect this attack. They don't expect Iran to have this missile that was sold under the table to them by Obama. But when it happens, it's going to be an eye-opening to them, my brother and sister. And I don't know how many lives they're going to have to lose in order to open their eyes. Who knows? We hope that if we pray, God will protect them for sure. I know that. It's a brighter price because their friends will abandon them. It's in the Bible. It's in the prophecy. Prophecy will have to be fulfilled. But I know that if we pray, God will protect them. You know, and not that many people will have to die because it will be sad. There's going to come a great wailing there, great crying in Israel, my brother and sister. But if for them to cry to God, and when they do turn to God, God will fight for them. You can read that through the book of Joshua. Every time they turn back to God and cry out to him, he again forgave them and protected them again and blessed them again. And that's how it's going to have to be again with them. They're going to have to turn back to God. And then Romans 11 says that no Israel will be safe, my brother and sister. He'll save them again. He will save them again, my brother and sister. But there has to be something that will cause them to cry. Because someone said that years ago, I remember, that they saw missiles going from Iran to Israel, and it did so much damage that the nation internationally were thinking how Israel is going to survive this damage that someone saw. I mean, they destroy a lot in Israel. And they were wondering, how are they going to survive this? You know? And then I had that revelation with Jesus, with the army fighting with them. Because, in other words, he knew that the Iran and all these nations now were going to try to annihilate them, kill them. But the Lord fought for them and gave them the victory. God will have to intervene in all this, my brothers and sisters. But the Jewish people had to turn to him. They had to turn to him. This is something that I hope we'll see in the days to come. And we're going to see a lot in the media. You're going to see a lot in the news. But I hope that we see an outcry from Israel to God, okay? Where it will even be televised, and we will see it. They have to cry out to God, because Iran is a deceiver. Iran is prepared, and they want to do a lot of damage to them. They got the weapon they need to do it, and they're going to use it. No one, only God can stop them from using it. They're going to use it. And God has shown destruction over Israel, okay? But all this is leading into the Great Tribulation, okay? It's all leading into the Great Tribulation. The Lord had shown people mighty vision of the army of Israel defending themselves against Iran, and it's like in the beginning of the Great Tribulation. So that's why I tell you the church don't have much to see. The church is not staying behind in the Great Tribulation. Before the Great Tribulation began, the church disappeared. That's why when the Lord showed me the three signs, and when I looked to the word in Israel, the church was gone already. I looked back, the church was gone. There was not a single believer that was going home in the rapture that was on earth. The church had disappeared. Okay? So it was like me looking into the word of Israel, but it was in the beginning of the Great Tribulation after that. And look where we are now. They're getting ready now. Okay? That's how close the Great Tribulation is. Imagine how close the rapture is. Can you imagine? You cannot even imagine. Everything is close, church. Everything is close. I believe that the time in between that we will have will be the revival. But the church needs to get transformed. Okay? The church will be transformed, my brother and sister. Okay? We'll see what God is going to do. Things will start unfolding quickly. Remember that. Things will start unfolding quickly, my brother and sister. We'll be here, God willing, Tuesday night. Don't miss the program. We're doing another Bible study. I want to do this Bible study on Psalm 83 in Jeremiah and in Isaiah. We're going to read about Israel and their friends abandoning them, my brother and sister. We're going to talk about it from the Word of God. It's something that I want to talk about to bring into people's mind to pray for Israel. They're going to need our prayer. Their friend is deceiving them. Iran had the weapon to do a lot of destruction to Israel. So by Obama, they're going to need a prayer. They don't know how much they have, but they have plenty of them. Plenty of them. And so a weapon hidden to attack Israel. And they don't know which weapon. But they're very destructive weapon. Missiles. Too small as a nation. It will only take them a few hours to practically completely destroy them. They need our prayer, my brother and sister. You know, we cannot be asleep in this time, my brother and sister. We'll read Romans 11, what God said he will do with them, my brother and sister. What's going to take for God to lead them, for them to repent? According to someone who saw this in the beginning of the Great Tribulation, when Israel got attacked, and they knew that the army, the IDF, began to be destroying the force of the stronghold, they realized now that there was not much for them, and they turned to God. They made an outcry to God before the IDF was completely destroyed. They made an outcry to God. They cry out to God like they haven't cried out to God for thousands of years, my brother and sister. And that's when the Lord decided to fight for them, my brother and sister. Then when they sent whatever they had last against Iran, who was coming with a great army, they first had to launch the missile and began to destroy stronghold in Israel. Boom, boom, missile will be launched to leave them disabled, unable to defend themselves. And when Israel find themselves there, that's when the outcry comes out to God. They had no more choice but to cry out to God, because if Iran come into them with their army, they'll kill the women, they kill the child, they kill whoever's left there. In Israel, in Tel Aviv, in Jerusalem, and there will be nothing left. So that's where Messiah will intervene. This is all in the Great Tribulation happening, my brother and sister. Because Iran will tell the nation, we got them. Their stronghold are destroyed. Let's go in there now with our army and finish them. And that's what Messiah fight, because they cry out to God, my brother and sister. It's a true cry out to God that God wants to hear from his people. But it's going to take them to lose the trust in the IDF and their own army, to truly trust in God. The pride that America have in their army and their marine, when it's destroyed, people will turn to God in America. As long as they look to their army, their marine, and FBI and CIA and the stronghold, those are American strongholds. That's what they're trusting on. But once all that is gone, what is left after that? People will say, well, we don't have no one to defend ourselves. They'll cry out to God now. My brother and sister, as long as people are trusting on their guns, their weapons, and not in God, that's idolatry. And those idols need to come down, my brother and sister. Those idolatry, America is very strong. God is going to bring them down. Shalom, shalom.
Now the decision has been made by God that he will bring the judgment to the earth. He will start shaking the earth like never before. And the judgment that are coming very soon now, okay, will now be held back. The Father will now hold back. The Father will bring the judgment to the earth. Okay? And the earthquake that is tied with California, okay, and how he's shown other people, it's tied with Mexico, Argentina, and many other countries around. This earthquake will practically destroy California. And the Lord has warned the people in California, his people, to get out of California. All of their world dies in California.
The odor of death is in the air, as is the stench of lies and corruption. A nation of blind and deaf, the land of the unrepentant and the home of the future captives and slaves. You will not be free because only the truth sets you free. Because you have removed me and my ways, I am against you, the once great lady, a harlot, now deplorable, murderers, reprobates, without understanding and natural affection. I have sent you my messengers and prophets, and they have preached in your city streets. They have shouted warnings from the rooftop. You have ignored them and tried to silence my words, the words I put in their mouths. A whirlwind of fire. I ask you now, do you know it's me? Yes, I am. I am a forgiving God. Have you turned from your rebellion and sin? Judgment is upon you now. Judgment is upon you now. Judgment is upon Babylon, the USA, now. Do you know it's me yet? Oh, dear. Okay, do you know it's me yet? I heard that for almost 2 weeks, here and there, all day long. I didn't get the prophecy until yesterday with that in there. I said this before. Something major is coming. Everybody is getting prepared for it. Make sure your house is in order. And make sure you're ready yourself and your family is. Whether they like it or not, whether they laugh at you or not, just tell them what's happening.
The word of the Lord comes to America. America, you have been weighed in the balance and you have been found wanting. I have been long suffering with you, America. And yet you throw your sins in my face and laugh at me and deny me and reject me. So have I rejected you. Your days are numbered, America, and there will be none, no, not one, that will come and help you, because I, the God of the universe, have determined that you shall receive all that you have given unto mankind. I am going to send my judgment, which has already started. I'm sending more judgment and more judgment on America. As the city of Gibeah, I shall send an ambush against your country. You will be in a war before long, and this war, you will not be victorious, says the Lord. For my hand is against you, America, and you will fall into utter destruction, and the world will be shaken by what they see come upon you, because you have laughed in my face one time too many. You have made sin a joke. You have put your pollution into what I intended to be the church. The church is sleeping. The church has compromised. The church has allowed sin to rule inside its walls. That's why I, God of the universe, have closed down your buildings that you call the church. And I'm telling my remnant, come out, come out, come out of those buildings, saith the Lord of hosts. They are a stench in my nostrils. They go after their bulletins and their programs and their agendas, but not mine, saith the Lord. They won't let me have the liberty inside the buildings to do and say my will. Therefore, I am the one who brought them to close, and I will keep them closed, that my remnant may shine like never before, that the world may see the true church in my people, saith the Lord of hosts. Those of you, they'll know who you are. You've been faithful. You've been humble before me. You have bent the knee. You have bowed. You have worshipped me. You have called upon me. You have read my word. You have studied my word. You have believed my word. For in not many days hence, as I told the disciples of long ago, I will pour into you a more portion of my spirit, saith the Lord. I will fill your cups to overflowing, so that you will be able to go out into the highways and hedges of life and show people who I am. I am the great I am of Moses. I am the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am your father. I am your father, and I have much in store for you. Hold fast to that which is good, which is me, which is Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he is soon to come and call you from this world. But until that hour, tarry, tarry, tarry and work while it is day, for soon the night cometh. And my people will work no more. They will enter into their rest, saith the Lord of hosts. They will enter into their rest that I have prepared for them. Prepare ye today. Today is the day of salvation. Reject me no more, or you will be forever, forever lost, saith the Lord.
Things are truly not as they seem. They are playing out as it seems on stage. They have pressed.